This is PFW in Progress.
Hello, I'm Robert Goulet.
PFW in Progress.
What you get is one full hour of rip-roaring...
Fred Kirsch.
Not some dubious ruffians without the chops, but by a professionally trained voice man.
I don't think Ben Watson is a cheap tipper. I think your girlfriend probably gave...
Paul Perillo.
I don't care if he is Mr. Notorious Big. Can he croon?
Let's groove tonight.
See, I can sing it because Gary's not in there.
You get the idea. It's Snoopy. Brave. Biggie. Huffman.
And Andy.
Coolio. The whole bunch. Watch what I do with this little ditty from Mr. Cisco called the Thong Song. Are they going to sing it again? Shabang, shabop, bop, thong song.
Andy Hart.
You wouldn't hire a clown to fix a leak in the john. Yeah.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
You don't even blink, do you? Quick staring contest, me and you, now. You win, you always do.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Anyway, check out the CD. You'll just love it. Or my name isn't...
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Welcome to another edition of PFW in Progress. Tom Casale's laughing already. That voice you hear is not Fred Kirsch because he is not in the building right now. It is Eric the Leg Scalavino sitting in the host's chair.
I was just thinking about how disappointed everybody was when they just heard your voice.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
I know from experience, dude.
PFW in Progress on Patriots.com Radio. Eric the Leg Scalavino sitting in the host chair right now. Joining me today, PFW editor Paul Perillo. PFW staff writer Tom
Head
Casale.
Staff writer.
Oh, my God. Speaking of heads, assistant editor Andy Hart in the house behind the glass, the real G, Gary Grodecki, not mini Gary. And we got a lot to talk about today. Since our last show, free agency started. The Patriots lost a few guys. They re-signed a few guys. There's been a news of a big retirement in the NFL. There's a lot going on. What do you guys want to start with, the guys who left or the guys who came in? Oh, and if anybody in the audience wants to join us, there's a couple of ways you can do that. Webradio at patriots.com if you want to write in your thoughts electronically. That's webradio at patriots.com.
Or if you send a letter, we might not get it today.
Or if you want to get your voice heard on this show among this gaggle of idiots, including myself, that's 508-543-7482. Again, 508-543-7482. And before anybody starts complaining, we do not have lunch from any of our listeners, but Paul and I were smart enough to bring our own. You other two guys are going to do what you're going to have to do.
And I'm going to be cranky.
How's that any different than any other show?
Well, I'm not cranky when we get food. But I am positive, so we should start by talking about Randy Moss.
Positives, the guys who are staying, okay. Randy Moss.
Big deal. Good contract for the Patriots. Well, I don't think it is that big a deal. I think it's a very pro-team contract. I mean, for a guy coming off a record-breaking season, he was clearly underpaid last year. $9 million a year? I think it's a good deal.
What about you guys?
Well, I think when you look at it from the other team's perspectives, one, he's Randy Moss. He's had some troubles in the past. Obviously, here in New England, he worked out pretty well. But he's also, what, 32 now? He'll be 32 this year?
I think so, yeah.
So if your other teams...
Just turned 31.
Okay, so he's 31. But if your other teams and he wants this kind of money, I think you're a little more reserved to do it because you haven't had the experiences that the Patriots had with him. So I think that they trust here in their system he'll be okay. But if you're a Green Bay, or do you really want to give him $9 million? So I don't think there was a huge market for him. I know the Eagles were interested in him, and that doesn't surprise me because they look like they're trying to make a lot of moves this offseason. But the whole Cowboys thing, that was just thrown out there. The Packers, obviously, Favre is now retired. And so I just, if you look at the teams with his criteria, I just don't think there was a lot of good matches in free agency.
Now what do you make of that? You mentioned the Eagles, and they're allegedly throwing a lot more money than, or maybe not a lot more, but at least more money than the Patriots were going to give him, and him purportedly turning it down to stay here because of Brady. What do you guys
think? He probably don't want to play. He probably called T.O., and T.O. said that you don't want to play with McNabb.
I mean, I think that clearly Brady is the more attractive alternative out of those two, or probably out of any. He and Manning, to me, are head and shoulders above anybody else. So I'm sure that had something to do with it. I agree with Andy. Also, I think it's a good deal for Randy Moss, but I think it's a great deal for the Patriots. I don't think it's a break the bank kind of thing. $12 million signing bonus is a good signing bonus for a guy who's in his 30s now, but it's not an exorbitant amount of money. I think it's manageable in the cap, only $15 million guaranteed. So you're looking at, you know, a little over 50% of that deal is guaranteed. So the Patriots are probably going to be able to get out of a bad situation in the third year if they need to. I haven't seen the structure of the contract, base salaries, as to how that breaks down. But I think it's a good deal for the Patriots. And I also agree with Tom. I don't think there was a huge market out there. I think there was a very select amount of teams that would be willing to pay, you know, $9 or $10 million per season for a guy like Randy Moss, not knowing if he'll buy into your program the way he bought into the Patriots.
Was it just that, or was it the fact that the consensus seemed to be that Moss was going to re-sign with New England regardless, and that teams were just like,
there was definitely, you know, something to that.
Teams didn't want to be used. I'm sure there was something to that. I think there was a lot of factors that come together that make him, you know, the age, the decline in production late in the year, the questions about his history, the any team that doesn't have Tom Brady. You put those all together, and he's not a guy you're really willing to just go all out to pursue and break the bank for.
So what do you think the rationale was for, A, not franchising him to begin with, and then the fact that he took what seemed like a long time, but it was in actuality only, what, three, four days of free agency before right. he actually signed. So what was the rationale? There was all this speculation that, oh, well, okay, they didn't tag him because they already had a deal, and then when he didn't sign right away on Friday, it was like, well, what's going on? Is he talking with other teams? What was the rationale? If he was going to have this already, why did it take this long to get it done?
I mean,
he might have wanted to see what was out there.
I was going to say, we're left to speculate now because no one's sure. answering. I mean, we haven't talked to either party. We haven't talked to Belichick, and we haven't talked to Moss, so we haven't been able to ask those direct questions. And frankly, I don't expect to get you know, honest answers from either side on that anyway. But if you're asking me, a plausible scenario is that Moss asked them not to franchise him. And, it might sound simple. Why didn't he just franchise him anyway? Who cares? It's business. This business is being done, blah, blah, blah. But I think that Moss might have expressed, his wish to not be franchised so he could see what was out there. And I also think that he was a lot closer to signing with Philadelphia based on some of the things that I've read today in other places than not what I've read in the papers, but just kind of trolling around the Internet a little bit. I think he was a lot closer to signing with Philadelphia than any of us really realized yesterday, number one. And number two, I think it was a tough decision for him. I think he really, really thought, do I take this shot right now and go somewhere else and give up the comfort factor that I have with Brady? And, I think that was a tough decision for him. I don't think he wanted to be franchised, and luckily for him, the Patriots didn't do that. And that allowed him to look around a little bit. And I think that's why it took – because I do think that 3-4 days at the start of free agency, it was a long time. I don't think that I don't think you're misstating the facts there. I think at this stage of free agency, 3 or 4 days is a long time.
Because most teams tend to
already
have
their eye on
somebody.
For a guy like that, a high-priority free agent like that, yeah.
Yeah. I remember, Andy, you and Fred were kind of getting into it a little bit yesterday in the office about, you know, just that very topic about whether a couple of days is a long time without doing anything.
I don't remember the argument, but I'm going to say Fred was on the Patriots side.
Yeah,
but,
basically.
You know, last year at this time was in effect the first time under the Belichick era that they really went out, made a big splash right away in free agency with Adalys Thomas, and then that just started the ball rolling with the Kelly Washingtons and the Dante Stallworths and all the other, you know, the Welker trade and then the Moss trade during the draft. This year, yeah, they re-signed Bruschi. They brought Kelly Washington back. Now they have the big deal with Moss, but they've lost Samuel. They've lost Gay. Does the Moss signing kind of stop this bleeding?
A little
at
bit.
Least for now.
It would have been, I mean, the sky would have been falling had Moss gone to Philly. There's no question about that in terms of the reaction. And I would have felt that way. I still think, you know, you can question what they're doing and, you know, how aggressive they're being. And, you know, we hear that Sam Aiken, Bill called him at 11 o'clock Friday morning. To me, that's what you do. I mean, if you want a guy, you make contact with him the first day and say, I want you. I want you to come here. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me Sam Aiken is the only guy that they had first day type interest in? And, you know, we also talked about, and I even got super fan Carol Hardy to admit, it's the
Our
Patriots are
director.
Still a far worse football team today than when the season ended. You lost Randall Gay, you lost Asante Samuel, you lost Roosevelt Colvin, and the guy you brought back you can't possibly think he's going to have as good a year moving forward as he had last year. So right now, the Patriots aren't as good. I mean, that's the bottom line. They're not as good a football team, and teams like the Eagles are trying to move forward and make themselves better and being aggressive, so maybe the gap is closed
a little bit. The one thing I'll say about the Eagles is I don't think they overpaid for Samuel at all.
No.
I think no matter where you want to rank him, 2, 4, 6, 7, Samuel's one of the premier corners in this league. He's one of the premier. He's proven that. And he got about, what, $9 million a year?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it works out.
Well, that's what premier corners make. Mm-hmm. So if you want him, that to me, I don't think he was asking for a ridiculous salary based on what he signed with Philadelphia. I think that was a very fair deal for them and for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Patriots should have signed him.
I think that they would have been in the ballpark. I don't think those numbers, I agree with Tom, I don't think those numbers were extraordinary. I think that it's a very good, solid contract. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. It's, $57 million is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was something like a little over 20 guaranteed,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking 32 in the first 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's in line with what a lot of these guys make now. I don't think it was a blasting landmark kind of a deal. I think it was something the Patriots probably would have been in the ballpark on, but I think that they didn't offer it to him up front. I think that they got to the point with Samuel.
You talking about the guaranteed part or the total? You talking about the guaranteed money or it's
guaranteed money? You got about $20 million.
Yeah,
it's not that much.
Are you talking about that's the ballpark they were in or the?
Yeah, I think the Patriots would have been in that ballpark, all of it, the whole contract. I think if you ask the Patriots right now, would they have been willing to do that? I think they would have probably been in favor of it. But I think that they didn't do that. They didn't make that kind of an offer to him. And I think Samuel got to the point where he didn't think the Patriots wanted him back. And I think that he was determined to get out on the open market, and he did. But I agree with Tom. People are going to try to probably make themselves feel better because we all thought he was gone. We all didn't think he was going to return. So I don't think any of us really had any hope that he would be back. So it was easy to accept it. But
we thought he was going to be gone and break the bank, and he
didn't
break the bank.
I did.
That's
he was talking about $10-plus million per year, $100 million total package, and I was saying, hey, you know what, Asante, if you get that, good luck to you. I think you're a solid player.
I wouldn't have given that to him either.
He
got a normal deal.
But, what do you think? I mean, what could the possible difference have been to what the Patriots would have given him to what he got?
No idea.
So that's got to hurt more.
You got to think a 6-year deal worth $50 million.
People will tell you he wasn't that good.
No, right. That's another argument.
Yeah,
but
I thought I would have the same reaction with Samuel as I did with Randall Gay, where the Patriots would be ludicrous in my opinion.
New Orleans,
to give him that kind, Randall Gay that kind.
New
of
New Orleans
money.
Is out of their mind for what they gave Randall Gay. I mean that one I will not.
The biggest winner in free agency, Randall Gay.
Yeah.
He goes home and he gets a ridiculous contract.
4 years, $17.6 million for an undrafted free agent corner who is not a starting level cornerback in this league.
And the guy he's not starting over is Ellis Hobbs.
So
an undrafted rookie free agent cornerback out of LSU.
Okay, so they're depleted now instantly at cornerback. Do any of you guys think there's any chance that the team will try to make a move for either Lito Shepherd or D'Angelo Hall or even both of them?
Not both.
No.
And I don't think either, really. I mean, if they wanted to pay the money, they could have paid the money to Samuel.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to bring in a guy they don't know and pay him the money.
What are they going to do, pay him $5 million less?
But after what Paul just said, that thinking that they were close enough to Samuel, that they were at least in the right ballpark, does that at least give them a sense that now, okay, they can go?
I don't know if they were in the ballpark.
No, but I'm saying let's assume Paul's theory is correct, and they were close enough to Samuel, but he had just decided for whatever reason it's time to go, it's time to move on.
Don't misunderstand my theory. I didn't say the Patriots offered him that.
No.
I think if they did, he'd still be here.
But that they potentially
I think
might
they
have.
Would have,
right.
But I don't think they did.
Okay, so let's assume that that's correct. And Samuel does take a deal that's not too far off from what the Patriots were going to offer. Does that give them enough leverage to go to a Shepherd or a Hall and say, hey, look, we were going to offer Samuel pretty much what he got. So does that give them any leverage at all to go to them and say, we can give you something close to that?
Well, I think if they were willing to trade with the Eagles and hand Lito Shepherd Asante Samuel's contract, then the Eagles would love that. I mean, if they're going to give him a first round pick and but I don't think the Patriots are willing to do that. Trade and hand money. Now you're giving up a double price and you didn't do it with Asante Samuel. So I don't think either of those guys are coming here.
Yeah, I don't either. I think Ty Law's coming here, and I think he's
right. I mean, that's
shell
the Patriot way.
Himself.
Ty Law, they'll probably trade for another guy or sign a, hey, you know, Fernando Bryant. People
Jason
have been talking
Webster.
About Jason Webster,
oh, he
and
sucks.
Probably draft
Jason
a guy in
Webster
the second round.
Jason Webster is Fernando Bryant. I mean,
right.
He's like an eighth. I think it's his eighth year.
Something like that.
You know, he's been. This will be his fourth team.
And he'll be the next in line of Warfield and Torrey James, where he doesn't make the team because
right.
he stinks.
I mean,
but that's what
guy,
they do. That's how they fill these roles.
Know, and we should probably, you know, in case our listeners don't know, he is maybe even today, he's being here kind of getting the pitch, the free agent pitch.
Ty Law you're talking about.
No, Jason Webster.
Oh, Jason Webster, yeah.
You know, and the papers have him as being one of the targets that Belichick has. You know, he was drafted by San Francisco in 2000, second-round pick. I don't know about Utah. I kind of liked him in college, but I don't think he's had a
no,
very
I
good
career.
No, I
did in college, but
I liked him at A&M.
He stunk in San Francisco, and then he went to
Atlanta.
To Atlanta, and he played okay. Then he was kind of he was on the outs there, and
then he had one year in Buffalo, which is really a wasted year. He played one game, broke
he's
his arm.
He's just one of those guys. Like when you watch games, when he gets beat, man, he gets beat. Like he's one of the, what you just said, Andy. We were watching on the NFL Network. I didn't even see the corner in the picture. That's Jason Webster. He gets beat badly. So,
but that's Bill's MO, and that's why I wonder if the Patriots
been working
were in
because,
the
Dwayne,
I don't think they
Dwayne
pay
Starks
corners.
Didn't work out. Warfield didn't work out.
I don't think
Corey
Bill
James
puts premium price
out.
On cornerbacks.
I don't think he put. I mean, it's funny because you look. I think if you look at his overall, everybody likes to point to the diamonds in the rough. But if you look overall at the guys that he's brought in, I think there's a lot of them, like the ones that Tom just started rattling off, that haven't worked out. But it just doesn't seem to matter. The team just keeps winning.
Right.
So they have Brady.
Now, well, that's my point. I mean, you could talk about your value system all you want, but the system doesn't work if you don't have the best quarterback in football.
Right.
No, but I'm just talking about the position. I think Bill doesn't value that position as I'm going to pay a guy $9 million a year to play that position.
But based on that, and I don't disagree with you. I'm not arguing with you. But based on that, would you say that the only position he values is defensive line?
No.
Who does he pay?
I think outside linebacker. I mean, he saw Dallas Thomas and said, I'm going to go pay him. I think he can change my defense and make plays for me. I think in the secondary, he thinks he can scheme. I think he can find mid-level talent, and I'll scheme it up. I think he says every once in a while there's an outside linebacker, a guy like that. Colvin, he went after back then, was a good contract. Not great, but good.
That was a good contract when he signed it.
And I
would also say that in 2003, that year that they signed Colvin, was similar to last year. They were very aggressive early in free agency and went after it.
I just think corner, he feels like he can get by.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you. I was just, you know, kind of
and I also think he thinks it's a position – sort of like the Red Sox did with first base with David Ortiz and Giambian. I think he feels like if he comes to camp with 12 DBs,
he'll find three or four
that he can scheme together, and you know, one guy's strengths will cover up the other guy's weaknesses, and he can put it all together.
What about the fact that now Dom Capers is heading up that secondary as the coach? Does that change the philosophy at all about just bringing in any old guy to play in the secondary, or do you think he might want to get somebody like a Hall or a Shepard?
Well, he likes to play aggressive with his corners, and he didn't got the guys to do it right now because Hobbs plays about 20 yards off receivers.
But,
and we saw what happens when he plays aggressive in the Super Bowl, and we saw what happened when he plays aggressive against the Colts when Reggie Wayne dropped that sure touchdown pass when he was up on him, and Andy pointed it out and said one-on-one, and they went right at him.
Right. But I don't think Dom Capers is going to have a lot of personnel-type level.
Oh, no.
I think he's going to be a big factor in the defense.
Yeah.
But I don't think he all of a sudden has the yoke to come in here and say, yeah, I'd like a corner that makes $9 million a year. Bill, take care of that.
Yeah.
Like, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I think he's next on the defensive mind depth chart, but he's a big second to Belichick.
So you think he'll just come in and work with whatever
whatever's
given to him?
Oh,
he'll have to
now,
try
he'll
to
have, you know, he could say, and I'd like to, you know, I'd like Jason Webster or whoever, he likes him more than Fernando Bryan, or, you know, he might have some say there, but he doesn't have say to say, I want Asante Samuel, not Jason Webster.
Right.
Bill's not giving him that option.
I did want to just point out the fact that, you know, because I'm as critical as anyone with the individual moves. You know, the Monty Beisels and Chad Browns and Donald Hayes's and on and on and on. You know, and more recently the Eric Warfields, you know, Torrey James's. But you can't ignore the fact that whether the moves have worked out in the off seasons or not, Belichick has been able to put together a program here that is constantly in contention to win it all. And that's not an exaggeration. They've had a chance to win it all every year since 2003. They didn't have a chance to win it all in 2002. But 2003 through 2008 now, They're in contention, and they're going to be at the top of the list heading into 08 right now. You know, when come September, people, I think most prognosticators will have the Patriots in a small list at the top. So all of these failed free agents, we can talk about them all, and, you know, like Andy made the comment, if Randy Moss hadn't re-signed, you know, people would be like, the sky is falling, and you're right. Mm-hmm. The sky is falling. There's no question. That's what people would be thinking. But I got to tell you, I don't think it would matter a whole lot on the field. I think that they would find a way, like Andy says, to scheme with the defense and mix and match on offense, and they'd find a way. I mean, they might not go 16-0, but, you know, can you imagine it? You could be 4 or 5 games worse, which is a lot.
And still
but
be
still win your division, still
right
be in contention for a bye, and go to another Super Bowl.
The only thing I have a question about is, I think it's going to be clear they're going to have to win by offense again, because two parts of your defense are not only questionable, that you don't have men. You don't have people to line up and play right now
at
cornerback.
You said that.
Well, you don't.
You don't have men.
You don't have enough guys at linebacker or cornerback to even play a football game right now. I don't know, Bill, you know, it's a long time, but luckily we don't have any games scheduled in March. They'll be okay come August. But, right. You know, it's clear that you have a defensive line and an offense. The back end of your defense is not there right now.
And I just think I think it's going to be hard to score 40 points a game again.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is, you know, as great as that offense was, and I don't think there was an ounce of that offense that was overrated last year. I'm looking at one of them. They were just great.
Light on the NFL Network.
but that offense was just great. But even when you are, like, that good, you're not going to be able to score that. I mean, they were scoring
at will at times.
But
they were winning games by 45 points.
But also, well, and they also tried to win all those games by 45 points.
I think Bill probably still try to win them by 45 points.
But my point is this. There came a point in the season where that production, although still good, was markedly less mm-hmm. than it had been. You know, and to me, that the line of demarcation was the Buffalo game at Buffalo, the first of the three night games, the 56-10 game. From that point on, yeah, they had some good games offensively where they scored, you know, 30-some-odd points, but it wasn't the same as it had been earlier than that.
Right.
You know, they scored 31 to beat Philadelphia that night, but we all came away from saying
the toughest.
The Eagles really made them work for every yard they got in this game, and really they only scored 24 because Asante picked off a pass in that game and returned for a touchdown. But
that was the system, Paul.
No, I know. He's a system cornerback. I know. But I have to think that teams are going to, you know, Tom, you made this comment to me off the air. Teams are going to spend the entire offseason trying to figure out. They might not be successful, but they're going to be trying to figure out how in the world do we slow down this offense. And we've never been hit with anything like this in the last 10 years. How do we slow this down? I think that's going to show up. I just don't think you can maintain that. You're not going to score 600 points again.
Right.
But you don't have to.
No, you don't.
No, they're going to be good enough.
As you said, you lose 4 games that you won last year.
You'll be
and
good
three
enough.
Others, you instead of winning by 10, you win by 4. You know, instead of winning by 21, you win by 14. You're still going to win 11 games.
And you
games.
Made the comment about Moss, Andy. That's right. I mean, can you possibly expect him to duplicate what
God,
he did?
No. 9-11 touchdowns.
No, which I remember what Mike Martz said once. He said, our offense is so good right now, even when we don't win the Super Bowl, we're the team that other teams look at in the offseason to see how they can stop. They spend more time, if they have to play us, they spend more time studying us because they know we're so difficult to stop. And I think that's what you're going to get with the Patriots. Teams are going to look at, how did people take Moss away? How did the Ravens take Welker away? And they're going to try to incorporate those two things together. And as you said, Andy, it's not always going to work. Some teams are going to try it, and the Patriots are going to score 45
Some teams
are
just going to be flat out not good enough to
take
anything
away. They don't have
away.
The personnel and... But I think some teams will try to take both of those. And like I love what the Colts did with Welker by moving Marlon Jackson into the slot on third down. To me, on third down, you got to have one of your top two cover men on Wes Welker.
They did that the whole game,
yes,
actually.
And they're going to throw it to him all the time.
But the only issue on the flip side of that, this is also the first year where Tom Brady's had good talent and good talent that's returning. You know, we talked last year, we thought it was going to take months for them to really click and Moss and... Well, it didn't take months. It took 1 week.
Yeah. Right.
Now he's got the whole offseason with, well, assuming Moss comes, you know, who knows what he does after he's got $27 million. But he's got the whole offense to work with. And maybe now they, you know, if we believe that Maroney was banged up and they were limiting him, you know, maybe there's some room for, I won't say growth because I don't think they can be better, but room for it to be different and succeed in different
ways.
I'm
sure they'll make adjustments, too. I just think that the last part of what you said is inevitable.
Well, I mean, they were the best ever. So.
Right.
But do you think
It's impossible.
Let's say they are able to score, 30, 35 points a game. Are they going to be giving up 28 to 32 points a game? Are we going to be seeing
shootout
type games?
They're going to score less and give up more. That's the bottom line.
They're not going to give up that. I mean, they're not going to be giving up in the 30s every game. I mean, I think when they lose games, I think they're going to lose 34-27 and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're going to be consistently giving up 30-some-odd points.
Webradio at Patriots.com if you want to write in. 508-543-7482 is the number to call. If you want to, let's get to some emails, guys. James in England, our first one to check in.
Jimmy!
He has a rumor that he wants us to comment on. He heard a rumor that Javon Walker, wide receiver, could sign a one-year deal with the Pats. What do we think about that?
I heard a rumor that he can't walk.
I didn't hear anything about the Patriots with Javon Walker.
I know the Cowboys are very interested in him, but right now they're still going over them. I mean, he's in pretty bad shape, I guess, with his knee, and there's a lot of questions to whether he can even play.
And he also wants the ball all the time. He ain't getting the ball all the time.
I'm not a big fan of him because I know the Dallas fans are really like Javon Walker. If you're talking about the guy who was playing 3 years ago, I'm all for it. Because then when you have an attitude, you can live with it.
Right.
When you're catching 90 balls a year and 14 are for touchdowns. But those guys that are injured and still have the attitude, I hate those guys because they're about 50% of what they used to be, but they don't lose any of the attitude. So I'm weary about those guys.
I also think that based on some of the stuff I've read, that he has been really affected by the Darren Williams thing, that he was right next to him. And, there was stories at the time that he was actually the target of that. Mentally, he has been, not with it for the entire year in Denver. He had to get out of Denver, evidently, because of that, and that's why he is out there. But I kind of agree with Tom. I also you have Randy Moss back, so he's going to be the focal point. You have Wes Welker is going to be, your secondary focal point, for lack of a better term. Where does Javon Walker fit in? If he has that attitude that Tom is talking about, which I think he does, where does he fit in?
Right, because last year we had a guy that had no attitude, Dante Stallworth. He could have cared less if you were throwing him the ball or not, as long as he was taking bets in the locker room and, on Jim Rome. That's the kind of guy you need, a guy with some talent. It doesn't mind if he catches one pass in 3 weeks. Those are the type of guys you want to bring in. I don't know if Javon Walker is ready to take that role on.
There's no upside for him. Why would he come here?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Where does he fit in?
He's not going to catch the 70 balls he needs in 1 year to get a nice big deal the next.
Understandable that that name would be attractive, though. I think probably Pats fans.
Oh, 2 years ago, I would have been all over Javon Walker.
Yeah, and the Pats were. They tried to get him.
Especially when he came here with the Broncos on that Sunday night, lit up the Pats, and had a great game. That's probably the lasting impression that Pats fans have.
No, he's a very talented guy.
Yeah, if he was healthy.
When he was healthy.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
But I also don't think the Patriots need receivers.
Does he play linebacker?
I think then, heading into the 2006 season when the Patriots had no receivers, I think he would have been a very attractive guy. But now I don't think that need is there, especially if both papers reported today that
Gateway, of course,
they want to get Jabbar Gaffney back here. Mm-hmm. I'm not the biggest Gaffney fan in the world, but he is certainly serviceable.
He's solid, though.
Serviceable third or fourth receiver. That's all you need. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. I mean,
Brady seems to like him. He goes to him in big situations.
That's all you need. You have Moss. You have Welker. You fill in with Gaffney. Who knows? Maybe Kelly Washington. He's back now. I don't really think that he'll be a big part of the offense, but maybe he catches a few passes. Whereas last year, he really wasn't a part of the offense at all.
You bring in one more mid-level veteran, and there you go.
You don't see. You don't think Gaffney could move up to the stalwart spot at number two?
He's probably
well, he was.
I mean, as
year.
Of right now, he probably will be.
And the end of the season, he was playing more than Stallworth was.
And James continues. For those of you who don't know, James is the administrator of our MySpace page. MySpace/PFW in Progress. James goes on. Also, we have now surpassed Lori, former cheerleader Lori, who you hear on the show
that
sometimes.
That took long.
Lori on her MySpace page. We have now surpassed Lori's MySpace page and have more friends than her. To celebrate this,
and we don't have teats.
We do join Dick for a little while.
Real quick.
Yeah.
I was watching Wedding Crashers on TBS, and
I thought that
was a good barometer of what you can and can't say. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you can say ass.
Hole?
Yeah. You can say that, and you can say teats the other way, like I said
the normal time.
But you can't say Jesus Christ.
Really?
Okay. James continues.
Is that correct, Gary?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I was listening to last week's show, and Andy used the JC word. I had to speak with him about it, actually.
Okay.
You did?
No, I have to.
Oh.
James,
why can't you say
and
that?
And now we're done.
Can you not say... What's another,
I just found
like,
it amazing.
Why don't we stop
Allah
asking?
Or Gandhi?
But why don't
or,
we stop asking about the questions that, you know, the words
Buddha?
That we can or we can't
but,
say.
But I just thought it was amazing the words they were letting through on there and the ones that they were beeping out.
Yeah, I'm
out.
Surprised about that word that Andy always, you know, with the T that Andy uses a different variation.
Yeah, they said
it
a bunch of times.
I'm surprised that they let that one through.
James wants to celebrate the fact that we've surpassed Lori with the number of friends on the space. So what he wants to do is share with our audience some of the comments that have been left on the page.
Okay.
On Andy.
Uh-oh.
You guys are going to love this. Andy's cute. Looks like Chris O'Donnell. Remember Chris O'Donnell? He played Robin in the Batman movie.
Not even close.
Went to Boston College.
Scent of a Woman.
Scent of a Woman.
I get
yep.
Matt Damon more often, but I can
right.
see the O'Donnell thing.
Andy,
Chris O'Donnell
I do remember that guy that thought you looked like Matt Damon.
Shut up.
Does
Chris O'Donnell have something on his chin that takes 4 weeks to grow?
This is day four.
Oh, right. By the way, folks, those of you who don't know, this is a new development, only 2 days old. Andy is starting to grow what looks like half of a goatee. He's growing the bottom part under his chin. And he's shaving the mustache part and the rest of his beard on the sides. What are you
it's
doing?
It's coming
there?
In awful slow.
What are you doing? You're doing an
four
Abe.
4 days?
You're doing
is
an
slow?
Abe Lincoln
two
type
days
thing?
For me.
What is this? 4 days is slow?
Yes, that's slow.
I
for
shaved
that.
Friday.
That's 4 days?
Gary's yeah. in a stupor.
Wow. And you're not doing the mustache
part. You have
no
part. Hair on your head, and you're talking about my growth of hair?
We're not talking about the hair on my head or lack thereof. What are you trying to do here? What is this?
I'm not trying to do anything. I'm doing what I do.
I got
to
tell you.
Yeah, because he provides nothing as a guest.
Right. But he's doing a very nice job.
I agree.
Thank you.
You just didn't want to read emails.
that's true.
So what is this?
What do you mean, what is it?
What's
do
the
I know the
of
name
it?
Of it? I don't know the name of it.
No, not the name. What's the point of it? What are you doing? What are you trying to do here?
Why can't he grow a goatee without having a point?
I don't understand the point.
Why are you trying? Why are you trying to
spoil
this
segment
of the show, Paul?
It's 4 days.
Okay.
It's like a chia pet.
The Andy comment continues. How old is Andy? This looks like a high school kid. How old are you?
Older than high school.
When are you going to be 30?
This summer.
Are you really?
Wow.
I'm not giving out as many details as I used to.
Okay. I thought you were younger than that.
Okay, comments continue. On Tom.
I don't know any details.
Well, my wife brought this to my attention, and like, as people start to like make jokes and they include like, where you live in Dartmouth, I don't like the facts, too many details. I don't want people to look stuff up.
You're worried about why I'm always in the closet talking on the phone?
You're worried people are going to come on?
I know why you're in the closet. You know.
There's a lot of psychos in this world.
Yeah, and you offend a lot of them, too.
It's probably those drunk Irish...
And somehow they're all getting my email address. I got people emailing me left and right. Tom, what do you think about this guy? Tom, how'd you get my email address? I think Gary's giving it out.
Probably is.
Well, somebody thinks, Tom, you should run for president because it says on Tom, Casale for president. Look at that DB, and I don't mean defensive back. Somebody should promote that hero.
I agree.
It must be Renee, the
look at
president
that
of your fan club.
My guess. Tom has a fan.
I don't need. Here's the thing with me, though.
Look at that douchebag.
I don't need a promotion. I'm not about titles, but I'll take the money.
You're not about titles. You started the show by saying head staff writer. What are you
no,
talking about?
True. The only reason is because you're a staff writer now, and I want people to know that I'm at least ahead of you.
And he doesn't even write. He writes like 700 words of what it says. By Eric Scalavino of Patriots.com.
His byline on the website
to
along
PFW.
With some of the stories
yeah.
I've written.
It's that's not inaccurate.
And Tom is not running for president. He's not eligible.
Not yet anyway. Well, wait a minute. You're 35, right?
I just don't understand.
I'm
football,
31. You're 35. Okay, comment on Fred. This is all on the PFW in Progress MySpace page. On Fred, based from his voice on the radio, I thought he's this gangly dude with specs. Kind of a geek because he's a techie guy. All right.
He is kind of a geek.
He's just fat.
Right.
Yeah, and he doesn't wear
I'm
specs.
I'm worried about Fred.
Why?
Because I brought it up to my wife last night. He really worries me when he walks over to my desk, picks up a book, and is going,
oh, that.
He's going to die. I mean,
it
sounded
agree.
Like he had a piece of sandpaper lodged in his windpipe.
And I've also read studies that the worst place to be fat is your stomach, your belly. People that do that die much earlier. And he is all his
he's
fat
all belly.
Is right on his belly.
But he's trying to do something about that, isn't he? Isn't
no,
he on a diet?
Trying and failing.
Isn't he on a diet
no,
now?
No, saying, you're,
yeah,
on
saying you're on a diet.
Saying you're
on a diet.
Being on one are two different things.
Is he doing it, though?
No.
I don't know, but he can't walk from his office to my cube a distance of 15 feet without losing all his wind.
Oh, I feel lightheaded.
Yeah. He's going to die.
Comment on me, on Eric.
Your muffins, they're moist.
Wow. Boy, that brings back. On Eric, gay. Sorry.
Get on.
Sorry, that was the only comment he writes in parentheses. And on Paul's bald spot, time to shave it off, ass hat. Wow. Yikes, it's too late, Paul. You're past the point of no return. Get rid of the rest of it. Quote, I'd look so ridiculous, unquote, you say. Take a good look at this picture. That's unfortunate. Yowza. Great show as always, guys. And Gary, message for Gary here. Don't forget to send me the pics of you and Mini Gary.
Oh, they're going to be part of the MySpace page?
Part of the MySpace page.
Don't forget to send him the info on how to send lunch.
Yeah, we should put that on the MySpace. Yeah, we should post that on the MySpace page. Although we got to find a new place. That Papa Gino's a killer for Weight Watchers.
Yeah. Webradio at patriots.com.
Let's go to McDonald's.
Webradio at patriots.com. If you want to write in, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Patrick in Ontario writes in, hey, fellas, my question on past shows, you've talked about the possibility of the Pats trading the number 7 pick for the Cowboys' 2 first-round picks, and now this rumor is getting national play with people like Don Banks of Sports Illustrated, including it in his mock draft. What odds would you put on this trade happening?
None.
Yeah.
Zero. And I'll give you my reasons. Jacques Reeves, as bad as he is no longer a Cowboy. Nate Jones, as bad as he is.
Texans, right?
Yep. As bad as he is no longer a Cowboy. By my calculations, Dallas has 2 cornerbacks on their roster worth a darn who aren't like practice squad guys, Henry and Newman.
More than the Patriots.
They don't have any corners. And we all watched them play last year.
Hello, Newman.
They weren't strong in that position to begin with. So I think, A, you have to sign somebody sooner or later, but B, you have to use those picks for defense because going up and getting Darren McFadden to me, that's not a good plan. Now bringing in a Warrick Dunn who's available as a third down kind of guy to go with Barber, to me that makes sense. You're not spending a lot of money. You got a guy who can do a little something for you on third downs. But I just don't think you need McFadden. It just doesn't make sense to me. I just don't think it's going to happen, although I wouldn't put nothing by Jerry Jones.
And I don't really know if it's even at rumor stage, it's like speculation I'd consider it.
And that's
People say, they have 2 picks. They have a high pick. Exactly. He wants McFadden. McFadden might slip. You know, the pieces.
That's what it is, too. You got to be key with the wording. It's speculation.
To me, rumor implies that even
somebody
heard it that, you know, he's.
And
Jones
when I say somebody,
I
mean a football person. Right. Not you know, and I think Don Banks is excellent, by the way, and we're trying to see if he's interested in helping us out, you know, in PFW. But you know, if someone in one of the organizations had mentioned it, then to me that's a rumor. But if you're just kind of saying, well, they like Andy said, they have 2 first round picks. Patriots always looking to trade. They want to trade down. That to me is just speculation.
What about any other teams possibly being interested?
I think everybody's going to want to trade down.
And it's going to depend on how the players fall out. It's going to happen on draft day on the clock.
But I'll
because
give you one team.
If McFadden slips, if Ryan slips, and somebody goes, wow, I can get him at 7, they go get him.
Well, I'll give you one team. You know who I think Golston would really fit in well? Is Philadelphia. They're a team that likes those quick, athletic edge rushers. They lost Javon Kearse, and I don't know how much they like Golston. But perhaps that's not a huge – they don't pick. They pick like in the middle, right? Like 14, 15 in that area?
I don't know.
That sounds about right. They were 8-8, I think, right?
Yeah, so that's kind of a trade I could see happening. The Patriots trade down to 15 or whatever, maybe pick up, you know, whatever else would go with that.
I don't think Patriots fans will like that if Golston's on the clock and they trade out of there.
I'm saying
latched onto him.
But
like
if they don't like him, I'm saying maybe a possible trade would be with a Philadelphia who really craves Golston and he's still there at 7. They move up, and that would be a good area for the Patriots to trade down to 15 because then you'll have a couple of linebackers, a couple of corners that you could take in that spot. Just one of the teams to think about because I don't think it's going to be Dallas.
That'll rub people the wrong way if they do that because that'll be another of – now they're in the top 7, and a guy that could play in their system was on the board, and they didn't take him. When are they ever going to?
It doesn't matter.
And I'll be leading the charge.
Hey, before we go on, I just want to point out that Patrick complimented Eric, and he skipped right over it and didn't read it. So very nice, Eric.
Thank you, Gary.
You called yourself gay on the last email, so that was pretty good.
You don't have to do that. You can read
I'm
the
a
good
self-deprecating
stuff
host. What can I say? Let's go to the phones. Rich, Central Florida, welcome to PFW in Progress.
Yes, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
What's up, Rich?
Hey, Rich.
Good. Hey, I've been a little disturbed on Chad Jackson since he got drafted, Dave. I was expecting something out of the guy, and we haven't seen anything at all out of him. Is it his attitude or his mentality, or what do you think the real knock on him is?
I think it's a combination of about 3 or 4 factors, one being health. I don't want to just shoot that down.
That's a major part of it, and he had an ACL tear.
I think his attitude / maturity is an issue. And I think physical skills aren't as good as advertised.
Yeah, it seems to be a knock on a lot of the Florida receivers. They did well in college, but they just don't seem to pan out as well.
Well, I think for him, the biggest thing was he tested well, and that boosted him up into where the Patriots are really interested. You know, he had production at Florida, but I don't think he runs his 40 time on the football field.
No way. And I think, Rich, you're right. I think some of those Florida receivers, you know, we all know all the stories about them. There have been a lot of disappointments with those guys, and maybe Chad Jackson is the latest example, but
Gaffney's been an exception.
I agree with Andy. Well, I mean, he wasn't. Not, you know,
he was
not
a high second round pick.
Yeah, not anywhere
he
near
was
the production
Chad Jackson,
he had.
And he's a fourth or fifth
and
receiver.
And don't forget the Patriots signed him. He was on the street, you know, for anybody to see.
Right.
So his career hasn't exactly taken off. But I agree with Andy with Chad Jackson, Rich. I think that part of this is the physical skills aren't necessarily as good as we thought they were.
Yeah.
And that's just basically watching him a little bit. Now, he hasn't had a lot of opportunities now, but the ones that he has had, I don't think he's taking advantage of a lot of them. And,
no, and this is the make-or-break year.
We were talking about the number two guy.
He's got the whole offseason to learn the system.
He's going
to
have an opportunity right now.
This is the make-or-break year. If he doesn't make plays in the preseason and in camp, I think he could get cut, and I think you just move on and say it didn't work out.
Rich, thanks for the call.
Yeah, and the thing I'll say, too, is not just a receiver, but like I said before, on kickoff returns, he hasn't shown me any speed. You know, like usually you see that bullet just boom. Even like kickoff returners like, whatchamacallit, Rossum, who's been in the league for 65 years, he still even has that explosive,
a little bit of a
burst.
But I'll even give him a pass on that because I think there's some guys who can't return kicks. They're scared to put it in full gear. But I saw Chad Jackson on the football field, a deep pass down the left sideline. I don't know what game.
Chicago.
I'm not on call. And he needed
Chicago
that extra
Bears.
Gear to close the extra yard and a half to get the ball. And that's just instincts. If you have your speed there, it kicks in and you catch it. He didn't.
I couldn't agree with you more.
So, and I'll give him a pass. Maybe he wasn't healthy then, wasn't healthy.
I think
but
he's
healthy
different...
now with a full offseason. The excuses end. The production
you're
begins.
Playing with
or
Moss
goes.
And Welker.
Right.
I think he's a different style of player. But I think that the comparisons to Bethel Johnson are accurate. They're very different styles. I mean, Chad Jackson, I think, is a much
better
more
athlete,
physical,
though, right?
He's a much more physical guy than Bethel Johnson was. But I just didn't think. Now, Bethel Johnson had the speed on kickoff returns that we're talking about, that Tom is just alluding to. But going after the football, sometimes he had it, sometimes he didn't. And I haven't seen that with Chad Jackson either. So I'm not sure they're as good as we thought they were. You know, just the flat-out ability to catch the ball and make plays.
But this is...
Won't be getting that Pro Bowl before his rookie deal ends that I was
You guys would all agree this is make or break for Jackson
yes.
this year.
But no I question. Do think that, you know, Rich, the caller, brought up a good point because I think that this is not... We were talking about Gaffney and, you know, the number two guy. I mean, if Chad Jackson puts it together and does what I think people thought he could do coming out of Florida,
he should be
there's your
two
guy.
No question.
You know, now you have Moss and Jackson on the outside with Welker
stalwart.
In the slot and you got Gaffney to fill in. You could be pretty good.
Not only is your two, he should be the Randy Moss in waiting if he's as good as he's supposed to be. I mean, he's supposed to be physically gifted, and we haven't seen that turn into plays.
And I wonder if maybe, you know, some of the, you know, I had someone tell me last week about Dante Stallworth that one of the things that they didn't like about him, they thought he had a great attitude and all that stuff, and they liked his speed and everything, but they didn't know always if he was going to make the right move off the line. They didn't know if he was going to make the right adjustments, and we all know that Brady is always going to make the right adjustment, so you need to be on par with him if you're going to be a receiver and get the ball. And I think that at the end of the year when you saw him kind of disappearing a little bit, it might have been an accumulation of him not being where he was supposed to be enough times during the first 8, 10, 12 games that Brady said, you know what, I can't really rely on him anymore.
Well, he said in that preseason game the interceptions were his fault, and we kind of laughed at him.
Right.
But maybe he was telling the truth. Maybe he wasn't in the right spot where he was supposed to be.
And this system's not for everyone. It's all based on reads and adjustments.
And maybe
and
that wasn't
options.
His thing. But the reason I brought that up with Stallworth is I think that maybe there's some of that to Chad Jackson. I think that maybe he is not necessarily where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be. And
he's no box of chocolates.
I don't know what that means.
Rob Ryan,
you never know what you're
going to
get.
I don't really know that it meant that. It was a good thing, I think.
That's all
I was
going to
say, he would be a box of chocolates because you never know what you're going to get with Chad Jackson.
Back to the emails. Pratt in Germantown, Maryland writes, hello, PFW buds. Now since the Moss situation has been squared away, it's time to address some other needs, primarily on defense. But first, Pratt wants to know what we think about Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator, and his play calling during our successes and our ultimate defeat in the Super Bowl. I've been reading on various Patriot message boards that many think he should be replaced for constantly forcing deep balls to Moss. That's his first comment. Second one, in
no
terms
one
of
saying that in the first 8 weeks.
Yeah. In terms of defense, I think the Pats should use their number 7 pick on Golston. Do you guys think this is likely?
And any thoughts on linebacker Kendrell Bell, tight end Jason Dunn, who are to be released along with Ty Law by the Chiefs?
They all stink.
Well, Dunn is a Patriot-type signing.
Yeah.
Isn't he a big-bodied?
Yeah, blocker.
Just a guy.
Catch those one-yard touchdowns.
He could fill the Kyle Brady role.
The one thing I wanted to say about Golston is, though, watch out for him on draft day, because he's one of those guys that had the great combine. He's a physical freak of nature.
Yep.
And if you look at those teams picking ahead of the Patriots, they all have anemic pass rushes. And I know they got the tackles going there now and this guy and that guy, but don't be surprised if he's not even on the board at 7.
Oh, no, I think there's a very good chance, because he's the guy that if you're going to risk something, risk it on the freak who could be just
who
ridiculously
has the upside.
Good.
Who has the upside.
Don't risk it on Jake Long, who at his best is going to be like a pass block,
I
mean a run blocking
on draft
tackle.
Day, I totally think that's what happened.
If I swing and miss, I took a shot, I thought I had LT, I
on
ended up with Tully Bantakane.
On an impact
especially
guy.
In this draft, where you don't really have those guys right. Where you're saying, he's the one. If I'm sitting there and I think Golston can play, and we haven't come to a conclusion on him yet, right. But if we think that, and I'm sitting there at 4 or 5. I want the guy who can get after the quarterback. I'll find me a fat defensive. I'll call Ted Washington up here. Come plug right. The middle of the.
That's
give
why,
me a pass rusher.
Yeah, that's why I don't really criticize teams that pick the quarterback. Now, listen, there's a lot of misses with quarterbacks. I think there have been bad picks with quarterbacks. Alex Smith to me was one that mm-hmm. didn't warrant being taken that high. I think he might be able to play, but I don't think he was ever good enough to be the top overall pick of a draft. But I think that when you take a chance on a quarterback, you're looking at the high end is that's an impactful draft. You know, you can if the guy pans out, you're going to have a player. If your tackle pans out, yeah, that's great. But how much different does that make a bad team? Now, Bill always says, and Andy, you've heard this many times during the draft, is who are the guys that are hardest to find? The guys that score the touchdowns and the guys that get after the passer. He says that all the time at draft time. Golston, to me, if he hits, if Andy and Tom are right, then he's a guy that gets after the passer for you for the next 8-10 years.
And he's got the fewest questions, I think.
I think the Jets would be crazy to let him
I agree.
I mean, they got Calvin Pace.
You bring Golston in there. Now you got something.
You shored up your offensive line. You're going to have Mangold, Faneca, and the Brick, if the Brick can, even... be passable. You have a decent.
Oh, he's passable. He needs to be stoppable.
And then you have.
Everybody runs past him.
And then you have our buddy Woody on the other side. So you had really bad guards last year. You have Woody and Faneca to replace them. Now you can say what you want about Damian Woody. He's better than some guy that was from
Fort Valley State.
It was
or
one of those.
It was
one of those a rookie undrafted free agent out of one of those schools,
the
Division
option.
III schools. They're going to have a better offensive
free
line.
Agent out of LSU-ish.
They have decent receivers with Kotchery and Coles. They still have a huge question mark at quarterback, obviously. They have Thomas Jones, who's a pretty good player. Leon Washington's an excellent jack-of-all-trades guy. You have the pieces in place now. If you can fix the defense, and you're trying, you're spending a lot of money on it.
You got Harris, you got and Revis last year. Both look like very good players.
I think they have two good young corners. Because I think Justin Miller's pretty good, even though his career hasn't been great so far. I kind of like him. Revis, I think, had a solid rookie year. You have Pace now to go on the outside. If you could get a Golston on the other side, and maybe he's not quite ready to play. He's a rookie and all, so maybe you want to mix him in. That's not bad. Chris Jenkins in the middle. I guess the Robertson trade still has hit another snag, by the way, that Dwayne Robertson trade. So I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I think they have the pieces in place to be a markedly better team next year. Not good enough to compete with the Patriots. Don't get me wrong. The Patriots are still going to walk away with this division, but, they won 4 games last year. Maybe they win 8.
Right.
And but what if they're a team that's willing to trade down, too? Now that they've spent all this money, maybe they're a team
I'm not
that
opposed
says
to that either.
They don't, in a deep draft, they're going to trade down, get 3 more picks, not have to use the huge money. You never know.
And they have spent a lot of money. I will say that. The Calvin pays 40-something million for him.
Right.
$40 million for Faneca, highest-paid offensive lineman. $25 million for Woody.
They're going to have to give another
Chris
$40 million
Chris Jenkins was a
person.
Big contract when they acquired
him. And I know Patriot fans are making fun of him, but here's the point
you
I want to make.
You got to do something. You're behind.
Not everybody can do what the Patriots do. The Patriots have been on top for almost a decade now. They have Tom Brady. They have Bill Belichick. Adalys Thomas will come here for less money. Ask San Francisco. They tried to give him more money, and he wouldn't go there. Because why? Because they're not a contender. So when you're a team like the Jets and the Dolphins, yeah, sometimes you got to overpay, but just
just put yourself – pretend you were a fan of one of those teams, and they were sitting there losing every year and had the same philosophy as the Patriots. Well, we'll pick up a couple of guys later in free agency. No good. You got to close the gap somehow, and the only way is to bring in players, because the players you had last year, they weren't cutting the mustard. So I don't mind if a team like the Jets overpays.
If you're a Jets fan, think about this for a sobering thought. You were 12 games behind the division leader.
12 games.
12 games.
That means
you have to do something. I mean, I'm not saying that you just sign anybody, even if it's the wrong guy. They obviously made moves that they're hoping are the right ones. Now, if Chris Jenkins is, you know, hurts his knee in the preseason, doesn't play for him like he has several times in the last 3 years, that's going to prove to be a really bad move. But to me, they were so far behind. They need such an infusion of talent. You got to be aggressive, and Tom's right. You're not going to be able to do that by signing Jason Webster the way the Patriots have the ability to do.
Yeah.
They can maybe augment their secondary by doing what Andy has said and just, you know, taking some guys and scheming it up. The Jets can't do that.
Right. Boy, Tom.
They don't have enough talent.
If you're a Pats fan, you better hope that this draft order doesn't go Jets take Golston, Patriots take Jake Long the way he abused him in college, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I never thought of that. That was a mismatch of monumental proportions the last 2 years.
I think that's another reason why I take Golston. He played at a high-level college football, played against another guy who's supposed to be a top 5-10 prospect, and he won the battles. That gives you even more confidence that this guy can play.
Now, we have all our video, correct, for all the players in the draft, and we're going to start getting into
that
this week.
And we are going to put sections of it up on the web.
Yep.
So you'll be able to watch some of the things that we get.
Worked out a deal? Did you work out a deal with the
guy?
Yeah,
we worked out a deal. Yeah, we give you a few highlights of each player so you can take a little taste.
I also want to let everybody know that starting tomorrow, we will be once a week on Wednesdays, we will have our draft prospect review podcast.
Right.
Do every year leading into the draft, and we'll start that tomorrow. You boys will do it without me. I won't be here.
Yes, and you will not be here Friday.
I think we'll survive, Paul.
You won't
Thanks.
Be here Friday for the roster report because...
I got a thing.
Taking a vacation. Always has a thing.
Taking a vacation.
Going to see a sucky basketball team play in a tournament in Richmond.
That's correct.
And no, his daughter or son is not on it. No, he didn't go to the school.
Do you understand just the Ted Nation rule on cockamamie...
Well, Andy and I were at the Combine a couple of weeks ago. It was nice to actually put
Keeps
a face
it in.
To all these names, and now we're going to actually get to see
like
a lot
Eric's
more of them on
to
tape.
Fame.
We're going to get to see a lot more of them on tape, and actually, you know, that way you can actually, I mean, because talking to them, you can only get so much of an impression. Seeing them on tape is going to be very helpful for us in analyzing. It will help, though, having met them to kind of gauge, you know, from a mental aspect where some of these guys are coming from. But
Eric,
but,
you know everything.
No, I don't. I'd never claim to know everything.
He'll at least claim to.
I know quite a bit, but not everything.
One of my random thoughts while sort of listening to Tom rant was they didn't cut the mustard. What the hell does that mean? I know
what's the origin.
What's
the origin of
mustard? Either a seed or a liquidy condiment? Why would you cut it?
You know what? Didn't we find a site where there were phrases that had the origin of certain phrases? Remember we were looking it up one day?
No.
I get the over-under at
was
4
that your
minutes before Strippers has the answer to that.
I just want to know what cut the mustard means.
I know what cut the cheese means.
I knew that.
When cheese
that
is a solid, you can cut cheese, and we know what the other means.
Dave,
cut the cheese, it smells a little more.
Speaking of the draft and our number 7 pick, Dave from Stores writes in, "Hey, guys, it's been too long. How have you been? I've been better, still recovering from the game a bit." Well, sorry to hear that, Dave. "Haven't been able to email or call in because I'm very busy with school stuff here." Well, that's...
Come on.
You go to UConn.
How hard can it be?
Yeah. Classes are an elective.
Please. A few questions,
though. No Christ.
The Pats obviously need a legit draft this season, and they need young players to retool their defense. I know everyone expects a corner or a linebacker at that 7 spot, and I'd love to see it, but are there any possible surprise picks at that spot? I'm telling you, I wouldn't be all that surprised to see the Pats take an offensive lineman or even a receiver in that spot.
Well, I would be more surprised to see a cornerback at that spot than an offensive lineman, because I don't think there's a cornerback worthy of taking it.
I'd be stunned to see a receiver.
There's no surprise picks at 7,
no.
Really. You're not going to draft a guy who's supposed to go at the end of round 1 at 7. It's different when you're picking 30th and you can take a shot on Logan Mankins. But at 7, you kind of know the guys who are going to be around
pick.
There.
Logan Mankins. That was a surprise pick.
Dave finishes off with, "Tom, office is back on April 10th. Are you pumped for that?"
Yes. Yes, I am. It's about time. Things have gotten so bad, I'm watching Rock of Love and Celebrity Rehab, and I need the good shows back.
I'm watching movies because I have free movie channels right
Those
now.
Those movies suck, though.
Oh, come on.
Those movie stations are terrible.
The Witches of Brestwick, too?
It's phenomenal.
I lost. I said 4 minutes. That was much quicker than 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Strippers has written in with the answer to the mustard question. Andy is perusing the email right now. Yeah. How did he write
page.
It that quickly?
It's a full 8.5 page.
Somebody cut and pasted it from somewhere.
But he had to go and search it, find right. it, cut it, paste it, put it in the email, and hit send.
I don't know if you know, but Strippers is a pretty good guy.
I know he's good. But
his email came in before I could find it to cut and paste and put.
That's what
that I'm not
about.
Surprised with.
I'm talking about the latency of the internet.
Latency. He seems to have, like, he seems to know what we're going to say before we say it.
Is it not a fun story?
What are we doing over there, Andy?
I don't know. There's like a list of things that people have thought, but it isn't. Halfway down the page now. Probably should take a break. We'll get to this in the second
hour. We're
going
to. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. We'll be right back after this.
And I want to know who cut the cheese.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tac sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac-A-Tac sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, we're back. Patriots Football Weekly. In progress. That's what the PFW stands for, in case any of you don't know.
PFW in progress. I need to print that out, too.
Eric
Patriots
was only a...
Football Weekly in progress.
Eric was only a good host for 1 hour. What was his limit?
He's got a 1 hour of success and down the...
But you are, you're come a better on. Host than you are a guest.
Thank you.
Because you don't talk for an hour as a guest. See, what it is you have words to steer the ship. You just don't have any opinions to be part of the ship.
I don't have as strong opinions about certain things as you guys do. I'll grant you that.
It's because you don't.
And I kind of I got to tell you, I kind of like the host chair
because you do something.
Well, then why don't
otherwise you're useless.
Why don't you take that over and you're the permanent
fill-in host when Fred's not here.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I can't just kick Fred out the door.
No, I mean, Fred. Well,
see,
Fred,
the ego,
Fred's
I don't know. That's the thing. There's the ego.
What?
Everyone else here took it to be when Fred's not here. Right. You're planning on taking over Fred.
Fred's the star.
He said permanent.
The drink, my
he
friend.
Started
the
saying
permanent fill-in host.
Well, you said permanent. I mean, you know, when
can't,
you start with that,
Fred.
Can't get a guy's hopes
up. Let me ask
up.
You something. How long you think we'll be here without Fred?
Yeah, not very long. Webradio at patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the number if you guys want to call in. We've been talking a lot in this last hour. Go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say strippers didn't really, that thing really didn't provide
it had
anything.
Nothing,
and did I see, was I watching a game where the Oklahoma Sooners scored 10 points and a half strippers? I mean, seriously, if they're going to put that kind of performance on, yeah, don't put that on TV. 10 points.
I saw Texas Tech got blown the bleep out.
Oh, only by 59.
Tom, I'm glad you brought up strippers and the Sooners because apparently strippers wrote in. He went on the OU Insider board after our show last week when we were ripping a lot of former defensive players from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Here are some of the posts that came as a result of that. I guess people heard about that. About Tom saying Roy Williams stinks. Quote, I don't email, but when you look closer at most cases like this, it is generally simple spite. I'm sure Roy rightfully blew him off one time, and now he hates him.
Nope.
No, it had nothing to do with it.
He hated him before he could have dealt with him.
I have a 31 jersey that I used to wear around until he started stinking it up.
Another person wrote in, quote, Boston people are, in general, stuck up. These radio guys suck.
Well, are you listening to Eric?
See, no, I would agree with that, that Boston people in general are stuck up. I would agree with that. The Northeast, New England,
we have
an air about us.
I agree that all fans are stupid. All fans for everything.
And therein lies the fact that we're
stupid.
Stuck up.
But I'm serious. If you're an Oklahoma fan and you love Oklahoma, how in the hell can you sit here and be happy with the way Roy Williams is playing in the NFL? Seriously. I'm a Cowboys fan, and I'm not happy with it. If you're an Oklahoma alumnus and you saw him dominate college football.
Remember when he made that play against Texas where he jumped over the guy and knocked
the
ball out of Christensen's
hands?
Yeah,
that's the same game he was covering Roy Williams from Texas one-on-one. He was playing corner. That's how good he was. So how can you be happy with his performance? That's embarrassing as a fan.
That same person went on to write, Rocky Kalmus, linebacker, was a very promising starter as a rookie before injuries. And I think we mentioned that, did we not?
He's all right. I mean, but we're talking about a team that usually ranks near the top of the NCAA in total defense. Where's the stars? Derek Strait? I mean, where are these guys?
Strippers said, I stood up for you guys, though. I replied, quote, Boston people are stuck up? These radio guys suck? Have you ever listened to them? They run Patriots Football Weekly. They are paid by an NFL team. They appear
Thanks,
on TV
strippers.
And radio. Dare I say they are higher up on the football media food chain than anyone on this board, end quote.
Wow.
And then he continues.
Good job, strippers.
In this email,
we
he continues.
You.
Now he takes shots at us.
And for the,
but
no,
that's okay.
No, he doesn't. And for the record, I do not drink the Crimson Kool-Aid. In fact, I've been banned from four different OU boards for fighting with fanatic OU fans who think everything OU does is gold.
I got two
you strippers.
Here, don't we? Two cowboy boards I've been banned from doing the same thing. But these are the same kind of people who think Barry Switzer is a god. You know, inbreds. Stupid people. Morons.
Oh, my goodness. Andy in
you
Narragansett.
Been to Oklahoma?
I actually have.
It better how Tom says it.
I don't
Tom,
think I've
can
ever
you introduce
Oklahoma.
This guy?
Who?
Andy in Narragansett. That's right. Narragansett.
I can't do it unless I'm looking at the word, because now I know to say Narragansett.
Glad the Pats re-signed Moss, priority number one. Number two, with Kyle Brady gone, Gay to the Saints, and Samuel to the Eagles, what should the Pats do in the draft? Should they go corner in the top seven or get someone like Chevis Jackson in the fourth or third and use seven for a linebacker? I like Brad Cottom, he says, as a replacement for Brady.
I like Brad Cottom. What round are we taking him in?
He doesn't mention.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I like him. I like Chevis Jackson. All depends on what they do at seven, who they, you know what I mean? They need linebackers. I want to see three linebackers come out of this draft, not three linebackers in the seventh round, three guys that have a legitimate shot of making the team in training camp. That's what I'm looking for.
I want Golston.
But that would be a severe departure from Belichick Pioli drafts in the past. They hardly ever take a linebacker, and when they do, it's almost always fifth,
well,
sixth, seventh
round. They need to depart because they don't have any linebackers. I mean, young guys waiting in the wings. Their starters are fine. We all know that. I'm talking about the guys waiting to take over in a year or two. They don't have any.
Where are their starters fine? Did you say linebacker?
Well, Vrabel and Thomas.
I think they got 2.5 linebackers to play four spots right now.
But I think most teams would take Vrabel and Thomas as their outside linebackers, don't you?
Oh, yeah. The trouble is one of them might have to play inside. They don't have enough bodies there.
No, they don't.
Not enough men.
I don't think also, you know, asking Teddy Bruschi to play all 16 again or potentially all 19 again is necessarily a smart way to go into a season.
Or a likely to be earned scenario, whatever you want to call it.
We've been talking for the last hour or so about...
Where's lunch, Gary? I noticed you ignored my email that said lunch, question mark. Are we all set? Are we sending mini Gary to Bass Pro for wings? Nothing. No response from G.
A note to the listeners, who a lot of them have been writing in ever since Tom made the comment about the possible trade with Philly. We understand Philly has the 19th pick. You can stop emailing us in with that information. Tom was just guessing
speculating
it was
somewhere in the middle.
I think he said 15. In fact, it's 19. We understand that. We thank you for that information.
And I'm just saying that Golston, to me, seems like the type of guy the Eagles would be interested in because he's that edge pass rusher. He can play in the 4-3. He doesn't necessarily have to be a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Yep. We're also watching video on the screen, so we have the NFL Network on. Brett Favre, in case you haven't heard, Brett Favre, I guess, announced today that he's finally retiring.
No. Abrupt, I believe the word.
Well, and this is a pure sign of racism
watch
right
Brett
here.
Favre.
Why is that?
Because when Emmitt Smith retired, I didn't see all this. I didn't see the 24 hours, the 48 hours.
Did you have NFL Network back then?
I had it all.
Did it exist back then?
It's all. Say,
when he retired, did NFL Network
sure
even
did.
Exist?
Sure it did. But you don't think ESPN's doing the same darn thing?
I don't know. I see, like, they're going, like, literally year
NFL.
By year in his life. They said
yeah,
the early
this is,
years.
This is
the
a segment they're doing
years,
on NFL
this years.
On ESPN News.
But that just shows you that they've had this stuff in the can for a while.
Oh, yeah. They're ready.
Oh, yeah. It's like
and
the
they
obituaries.
Were ready, exactly.
They got Fred Kirsch's obituary already written. They just need the first line.
Which Favre pulled a Barry Bonds, by the way. He says, I'm just tired. He said, I know I can still play, but like I told my wife, I'm just mentally tired right now. I'm just tired.
I think he realized he had the great year at the end.
Yep. That
go
was
out
it.
On top like
the
that.
The only thing about that I was wondering about, I totally agree that he had that one flashback year, but to go out with that last image, you know, and I know,
better than to go out with 16 weeks of a bad image.
No, I know, but not this. Look, how many people get to do what John Elway did? Not very many, but you would like to think that he could have just had a nondescript season and been done with it rather than have an interception in the NFC Championship game in overtime that cost your team a trip to the Super Bowl as the last thing you did.
But if you look at it from afar, that whole season was kind of Brett Favre's career. He had those highs where he was great, and then he made the one bad, you know, that bad pass that he would make throughout his career every now and then. It's hard to explain why he threw the ball.
I will tell people, based on what I've seen, when you see the part Brett Favre goes to Japan on the screen as the header, very funny.
Oh, when he hits the guy
audio,
in the hands, yeah.
It's these little Chinese guys running from him with targets on their back, a Japanese.
There's a difference.
It
Andy.
Hits him
Don't
in the middle of
head.
The target and knocks
no
the guy down, and he wallows around
Orientals.
Like a turtle. No disrespect to the Orientals.
Now,
some of my best friends were Oriental.
Do you think Favre is one of these guys, though, who says, yeah, I'm going to hang it up? He takes a couple of months off.
No.
And then a
he's
team
done.
Decides they need a quarterback, and
he's done.
He's know? Already cracked his first 12-pack.
I think he's done.
Well, he did that a long time ago.
He's going to put on
no,
the
they
hot,
just showed it on TV.
Cab.
He was chugging a beer.
Speaking
well, look
of,
who just
walked in the
Speaking of fat little guys.
Look at
What's
this.
Going on, Fred?
Fred, welcome to the show. Where have you been?
Making sure the internet's working.
All around the
Wait,
world?
We have an entire yeah. internet?
The whole world.
Was Al Gore there?
What's going on upstairs, Fred?
I leave you guys speechless. You have to stop.
What's going on upstairs?
Say something.
What's going on
upstairs? We're giving you a chance to become part of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about.
You dying.
Yeah.
We're worried about you.
As you're breathing heavy right now.
He's breathing heavy right now, yeah. Sure, okay.
Sucked out another soda. That'll help.
Have another donut after the game.
Why didn't you bring wings?
Oh, he's not happy.
Just cranky for some reason.
Fred, do you have any idea the etymological origin of cutting the mustard?
And also where it came from.
And what etymological means.
He beat me again.
No, I don't. Neither does strippers who gave me 1,000 words on where it didn't come from.
Well, there used to be a book called Hog on Ice that had the origins of a lot of those sayings. So
strippers search Hog on Ice, cut the mustard.
I'm sure there's a website somewhere that has...
I don't know. Strippers well, we've
could
got find it.
People are sending us in emails with links to different places. But no one has yet sent us an email with an actual origin. We know what it means. We know what the phrase means. We know that it means that you're not up to snuff, you're not doing what you should be doing. But
like
how did
a lot
it come
of those
about?
Oklahoma football players.
Exactly. but
not cutting the
defensive
mustard.
Players. Let's what is up specific. To Stephanie?
Oh, their offensive players aren't that great either.
Well, but that
if you look at it overall. They're
take Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, well, you're talking about one or two here or there. They're
you
their
can
players
keep the quarterback.
But we have yet to find an origin. Like, where did it come from? Why did people start saying it? When was mustard being cut, and why was that not up to snuff? Why
one of the theories in the many is that both the mustard plant and the mustard seed are difficult to cut. But then it says that's wrong. There's no evidence to support this belief.
So that way there's no evidence to support anything.
Right. And they started their first references in the Iowa State Reporter in August 1897, although they believe it was used in speech long before that. But
all right.
None of this is fun. So
let's
move
football?
On.
I mean, we just signed Randy Moss and
you missed the whole first hour.
Yeah,
that was
the football for 58 straight minutes. We needed a break.
And we talked about Randy Moss at length the first half.
Talked
hour
about
of the show.
Moss, we talked about Samuel.
Because we are as Andy pointed out, Fred, we are very positive on this show, and
we started with the Cummins.
I gave them a choice at the start. I said we had some guys leave, we had some guys stay, we had a big retirement announcement in the NFL today.
Right.
Said, what do you guys want to talk about first? They all said, let's
Randy
talk about
Moss.
Moss.
Well, I think that
talk about
is the story.
Saying. Sure, but
and I think,
but
being
I, think positive. Just, I think it's just our nature to focus on the positive.
I think it's intriguing to find out that the Eagles had, money-wise, a better offer.
Have you been able to find anything out about that, Fred? Because we were all speculating. Do you know, if indeed they gave
like
an offer
like how much bigger or anything?
Well, if it even indeed had an offer that was bigger.
That's what I heard. That's what I read. That well, they
did
had
you
a,
read it or hear it? Because if you read it, you're one of us. If you
I read
heard it,
it,
it's Jonathan.
No, I didn't hear anything.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's interesting
oh, is he
that,
in, he's
you know,
not here, is he?
What's that?
Jonathan's not around, is he?
He
make
just
a trip
left.
To,
he
Israel
just passed
or
me
Jerusalem.
In the, he almost ran me over in the service level.
Not for a lack of trying, I bet.
well, you were taking up the
but
whole
But I did think
level.
It was interesting, though, with Samuel going over to the Eagles. You know, one of the things he said is he wanted to make sure that he never, ever drops an interception in a Super Bowl again. And by going to the Eagles, he'll ensure that because they're not
How's
going
he
going to
do that? How do you know?
Why? The Eagles, I think, in my opinion, are the NFC's version of the Colts and the Patriots. I think they're the best organization in the NFC.
Well, they were. They're
they
going
went,
down.
But they went 8-8 last year with all the problems Andy Reid had, all the injuries
yeah,
they had
get worse.
To their best players.
They're going to get worse.
I think they have
I think
a good
the Giants
to
and the
back.
Cowboys and the Redskins are going to pass them by.
All right. Well, I
think
saw
they're going to finish fourth in the NFC East.
Somebody has to.
They did last year. They did last year.
I know, and they're better, I think, already.
No,
I think the Eagles are
going to
be tough
too.
This year because I think that Andy Reid situation really got them off
and
on
I also
the wrong
think
foot.
That McNabb was, I don't think McNabb is great, but, you know, coming off the ACL injury, I don't think he played anywhere near his capability for about 8 to 10 weeks. Then down the stretch, he played much better, and they won games.
I will say that NFC East is going to be a bloodbath.
But I will say
every one of those teams is a contender.
What Samuel said, the Eagles are one of the few teams that usually compete every year, as Paul was saying about the Patriots.
They have.
For a title. It's not like he's going to the
Saints.
I
think they're the Patriots of the NFC.
They
that's
have
ability at coach and quarterback.
They have been.
They do a lot of the same philosophies that the Patriots do.
See, I think they could – I don't think they're as – maybe on paper not as talented as Dallas overall, but I think they can out-coach and out-scheme from an organizational standpoint the Cowboys and win that division.
To me, the biggest difference is that Donovan McNabb is not in the class of Tom Brady. And that's why they got to NFC Championship games and didn't win Super Bowls the way Brady has.
I know they're trying with Fitzgerald and Moss, but they got to get a receiver. They have that mentality where my system. Your system had a receiver for 1 year, and McNabb threw over 30 touchdowns. All the other years, he threw about 15, 16. Get the guy a receiver.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. First-time writers in are always welcome. Phone number 508-543.
He's much better in the host
7482.
He's much, much
he said
better
if they
in the
wanted
role.
To join it, they could write in electronically via email.
Well, yeah. I don't think I use that many.
I mean, we're not doing carrier pigeon anymore. Right. We cut that out last
Thanks,
year.
Fred.
The Pony Express. All of a sudden, there's a horse knocking on the door.
Josh from Arlington, Virginia wrote in about the mustard comment. He sent us a link to a page that says, like up to snuff, the semantic origin of cut the mustard is still debated. But there are two schools of thought. One school believes that we're talking about actual mustard, the same stuff you put on sandwiches and hot dogs.
There's no evidence to support these derivations.
Right. The other school thinks this mysterious mustard is probably a variant pronunciation of muster.
Yeah, there's also no reason to believe that based on this.
Really?
Yep. Huh.
So really cut the mustard is a military
Paul's
expression.
Paul's leaving. That's it. He's had it.
Good.
Paul just walked
the
out.
The show just increased exponentially.
And I want to know who cut
I don't
the
know
cheese.
What exponentially means, but
oh,
if it's
come
good,
on, Tom, you know what that means.
I seriously don't. If you put
you
me on a lie detector,
you don't know
right
what an exponent is?
I have no clue. Okay. Never heard it before.
Like 4 to the 2nd power?
What's that mean?
16.
4 times 4
with a little 2 on the top? The exponent.
I'm not really good at math.
Okay, you've seen a number with you've seen numbers.
Give
and
me
then
a word that it's like.
It was my understanding.
Dramatically increased.
Use dramatic next time. Then that'll help me and 99%
but
of the audience that's
listening
to
now
the
you
show.
Know what the word exponentially means.
And in 2 minutes, I'll forget it.
It was my understanding
I'll remind you.
That there
Don't
would
worry.
Be no math.
Gary from Syracuse writes in, hey, guys, read an article that says free agents aren't the way to go. Their example was the 49ers last year with all the free agents they got last year.
Or the Patriots.
Went yeah, from, I mean, you know.
Their defense went from 26th best to the 22nd best in the league and lost more games than
can
they did
stop,
the previous
can
year.
Can you stop reading?
I think you can make cases for either philosophy
right.
as long as you do it
as long
well.
As you don't sign Tully Banchakane.
Did that article, I hope, talked about all the injuries the 49ers suffered?
Oh, and they were... They were the
so
worst in the league.
You're talking about their defense going down because of free agency? That
they had the
make
worst
any...
luck because of that.
That is a terrible article, whoever wrote it.
His next question brings up an argument that Andy and Fred were having in the office yesterday. Are you guys worried about the Pats not doing much in the free agent market?
No.
Yep.
As I said before you got down here, Fred, yeah. I don't remember the argument, but I'm pretty sure you were on the Patriots side.
Well, I just think I 4 days after free agency open is a little too soon to say that the sky's falling.
No, I didn't say the sky's falling.
Falling.
I said if Moss had left,
said
the sky would have been falling.
Had left,
okay, but he hasn't.
Right.
No. Right. And I
that was before
and
it happened.
Right, but why are we
falling,
so worried
slowly
so soon?
Gliding
and I also
earth.
Think that there's a lot of things. Look, most of the free agents that the Patriots have brought in over the years have come late.
I
and guys that have helped
them.
You've been saying that since I got here.
See, I don't.
Years
that's
ago.
The part that I don't agree with. I think that the majority of the guys that they've had that have been impact signings have been quickly. They've been early in free agency. They've had a handful of guys that they signed after June, like Brian Cox and Roman Pfeiffer and Terrell Buckley. Other than that, the
Which
impact
was 8 years ago.
The impact guys that they've signed have been relatively quickly. First week of free agency.
I think last year that was the case, but last year we were
Rodney
all,
Harrison, I Tyrone think, Poole. Okay. Roosevelt Colvin.
You keep saying those guys. But
Mike Vrabel.
Last year, everybody was shocked at how quickly the Patriots went out and did things. Because they don't usually do that.
I think it was more how dramatic it was.
Yeah.
It was the money. It was the,
and they did it
was
with
a
flair.
Lot of money.
Yes,
I mean, but know, there was a lot of money.
That was the highest caliber guys that they've ever signed. That's why it was shocking, Fred. Usually it's guys like Rodney Harrison that were, you know.
I agree. Both ways work. It just depends on who's out there and what they decide to do.
But the problem
but you're
is
arguing two different things. You say that
the
they never
right now.
You're saying they never signed anybody early in free agency, and we're telling you
I'm
that's
saying,
not really the case.
I'm saying why are we shocked when they don't? Because they haven't
Who's
done that
shocked?
A lot.
Who's shocked?
I mean, you or worried. Let's say worried.
It was all about
I
Moss.
I am a little worried because I don't think the team
Moss.
Is as good as
well,
it was.
Well, they had to get that done.
Right.
That was big.
We were talking about if they had lost Moss, would it be time to start worrying?
And maybe I would agree with that. But I knew
maybe.
They were going to
so there was no argument then because that's what we were saying in the office when we were arguing this.
I think we were looking at everything on an overall picture.
Yeah,
not
we
just
were looking
that
at a
guy.
Little bit more.
And I'll go the other way. I'll say even though they've signed Moss, I think they still have a hell of a lot of work to do on the defensive side of ball. I think they'll do it.
Clearly.
But if they're done, if this is done, then I'm worried. But I don't think they are. And
but
well,
I don't,
if Jason Webster's the what they're doing, then
I don't hold
still
the same
be
belief if, as you that they'll be guys. They'll find guys. I don't think it's always easy.
I'm
going to
go on record
to find
right now.
Guys.
I'm going to go on record right now, Fred, and say that regardless of what happens between now and September 1st, you won't be worried.
It's a good call. Good call.
It is what it
I'm,
is.
I'm going to say that whatever happens between now and then, you're going to be confident in it.
Why? Because
that's what you
because
do.
I have no credibility?
No, I didn't say that.
And I'm a liar?
Scott Zolak
Fred,
said that.
See, you missed the first hour of the show when I actually
Bingo.
Made a comment, and Tom and Andy agreed. We can rattle off a lot of different free agents that they've brought in here, and they haven't really panned out. There have been
stuck.
A lot of them, and it doesn't matter.
Monty Beisel,
no,
Chad Brown.
But it doesn't matter because... In the end, since 2003, this team has been a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
I know, but last year,
so you, so that's, but that's what you're falling back on.
No, but last year, despite what a lot of people think, and I agreed with you, Paul. I think there were serious flaws in the defense that the offense covered up for most of the season.
And I think the same will be the case this year.
And if they don't do anything this year, by September 1st, I will be worried.
But I think it's going to be the same thing. They'll go 12-4. Because the offense is just that good. They have Tom Brady.
Right.
As long as you have the best quarterback in football, you're going to score enough points to win more games than you lose.
I mean, that'd be great, but that may not happen. And
you know something that we don't
know about Tom Brady?
No, I think that if they don't, you know, shore up this defense, particularly at the linebacker, you know, obviously linebacker and secondary, they've got to do some stuff right now before September 1st, or they won't go 12-4.
But, damn right. See, but all right, listen. We're not I don't want to exaggerate and say they're not going to sign any players. Like Andy's theory, like we don't even have linebackers to put on the field or cornerbacks. We know there are going to be players to man those spots. But I'm saying it doesn't matter the caliber of player because you will be confident. And you have a reason to be. Since 2003, as I pointed out, it really doesn't matter who's filling the roles. They've won.
Well, we know what they did on defense with the caliber of player they had last year. In our judgment, if the caliber of player that they bring in isn't equal to or better – then I think we still should say, well, here's, you know, places where teams have exploited them, and they didn't get better in those areas. So
can they physically get better now?
Can they physically? Yeah, I believe
I mean,
they
you
can.
Lost an all-pro corner.
Yeah. I think that, you know, with the exception of bringing in Alito Shepard, you may not have a guy as good as Samuel, but maybe, the accumulation of talent.
But who?
I don't know.
Now you're telling me they're going to bring in two very good corners to make up for the loss of a very good corner.
I'd be working downstairs instead of upstairs.
No, Fred, your resources are much better spent upstairs. Fred.
Now
who would design the restaurants?
He's belching.
The consensus seems to be that the team doesn't really need help at running back, or at least that's not an area, a targeted area in free agency.
Assuming Sammy Morris comes back
healthy,
they don't need help.
All indications, no, they're okay.
But an interesting move I saw this week, the Falcons released Warrick Dunn.
You know, and I was looking at that myself, but he's Kevin Faulk.
Yeah.
And well, that's better than Kevin Faulk.
But that's what
I
Cowboys.
Think he is.
The
but
Cowboys
you don't
are
have
looking
both.
To bring him
Kevin
in for
Faulk
that.
Never rushed for thousands of yards.
No,
He's
been in every down back.
He has.
Faulk hasn't been, but that's not a good. They don't need a running back. They don't have. They don't have a need.
Unless, but right now he's probably a Kevin Faulk kind of guy.
Yeah, at this point in his career,
he carries the ball 8 times. You give him some passes off. So I don't like Paul said. I don't think they need that.
No,
you don't think he'll be out of work long though, do you?
No.
Who?
No.
Done.
Oh no.
Someone will pick him up that needs.
Unless he's done.
No,
I saw the Pro Football Talk had an item, and you said it yesterday. But he said, you know, according to Albert Breer of the Dallas Morning News.
No, I think on the offensive side of the ball, with a few tweaks here and there, maybe bring in an offensive lineman, maybe another tight end. You can probably count on that.
If that was what they had to do between now and September 1st, I'd feel very confident.
And
I agree. I think they need some impact moves on defense.
I agree.
Starting caliber linebackers.
Where are these impact moves coming from?
I mean, we talked about a guy like Clark Hagans. You know,
and he's still out there, right?
And he's still out there.
I'd feel better about him.
Is there any interest in him?
Maybe he's just not
that
good.
I haven't seen his name anywhere.
Yeah, I haven't seen it at all.
Maybe he's just not that good.
Except for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Except
they're not the only ones who haven't.
No, just with us.
But we just talked that he might be a – I haven't seen Clark Hagans to visit ...
Right, what about Victor Hobson? Where's he going?
Those guys are – hello, anybody?
But they need – I think starting caliber linebackers, plural, and starting caliber cornerbacks, plural.
Right. But they're going to get those, Paul.
Those are big holes. I think they need a minimum of 3 guys, maybe 4.
Well,
yes.
You know, there used to be this thing that after the post-June 1st cuts.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
Well, it still does exist, but you're allowed to have 2 players that you cut before June 1st that can act as June 1st cuts.
Right.
Plus, nobody's in
cap
trouble.
So you don't have to worry about that anymore. Nobody gets released on June 1st.
Not so much.
But the bigger issue, no one's in cap trouble. Those were forced by cap issues.
Well, that's a good point.
The Patriots had $22 million and were barely, 10th or 11th in cap room. I mean,
and that's the other
there's
thing.
A lot of money.
That's a good point.
And that's the
Thank
other
you,
thing
Fred.
About, you know, when the increase in the cap, it's gone from something like 85 to 116 in 2 years or something. Those are rough numbers, but something along those lines. And I think what that's done, and, you know, you could, I know that how you'll take this, Fred, but I don't. It's made it harder for the Patriots because the Patriots were better at managing the numbers. Now, mistakes don't hurt you anywhere nearly as much.
At least this year, right.
Ever.
You're right.
I mean,
more room to make mistakes.
You have room to make mistakes now. So if your talent evaluation's off, you can get away with it because the cap
is big enough that you don't have to swallow, you know,
the
whole $12 million signing bonus.
Let's go to the phones. Christian in Boston. Welcome to the show, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Christian.
How you guys doing?
Good. Good. What's on your mind?
Two things. One, I found the meeting at Cut the Mustard. I sent it in.
Yeah, we've been debating it for the last few minutes. Apparently, there are a lot of theories out there, but nobody actually has a definitive answer for even the sites that you've sent in. Those don't seem to be in agreement from where it came from.
And we have other sites that contradict those and sort of try to shoot those down.
Oh, so that's what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, we've mentioned a couple of times. Consensus seems to be that it's a derivation of cutting or passing muster from the military. Derivation, Tom. Derived. Where something comes from. These aren't two big words
for you.
Tom, you
ought to read a book.
The car derived from one place to another?
And make it a dictionary.
I mean, even my son's reading The Red Badge of Courage. I had to chain him down to do it, but he's doing it.
I got no desire to read a book, ever.
Any football questions for us, Christian?
Yeah, I just want to know what you guys – I'm glad we signed Moss and – I think Samuel's a big loss. I think a lot of people are just sort of kind of like, well, we can sort of plug in anybody you want over there. But
that's Fred's theory.
Fred says that's a big loss.
I said before, if I had to choose Samuel or Moss, I think I'd pick Samuel.
How about both?
I got to back up Fred.
I'd love that.
He did say that before either one of them was signed.
But
yeah, I mean, it's because you could point to the fact that we won a Super Bowl with Gay and stuff like that, but – I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you think that's why they brought Cape in? Was the fact that, like, listen, you know, we're going to get younger at linebacker. We're going to get younger at D-back. We need another pair of hands. You know, obviously Cape isn't the secondary coach, but, I mean, you know, maybe it's to come into to tweak the 3-4 a little bit, like Tom said, maybe because it's a more pressure-type defense that he runs. So
I think you're right. I don't think they're
going to get younger at D-back, though, unless Rodney's going somewhere that I don't know about.
Well, no, they could draft two guys.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I'm
well,
saying.
I don't see them playing.
Merriweather needs some one-on-one attention.
A guy like Jason Webster is going to come in and play. I don't know who it's going to be, but it's going to be a guy like that, and that's not going to make you younger. It's going to make you older.
Well, worse.
Because the guy that's going to replace Samuel, in my mind, for Bill Belichick's defense is going to be older than Samuel, not younger.
Christian, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Christian.
Thanks for lunch.
508-543-7482 is the number to call if you want to join this discussion. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Brady, question for you. You hear any rumblings about Tom Brady redoing his deal at all?
We should bring that up.
Well, I haven't, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I stumbled across something while doing a little research today.
Yes.
Previously, his salary for this season had been listed at $5 million, which is also his salary for the next 2 years. But now, all of a sudden, according to NFLPA records, his salary is $720,000, which would mean they made a $4.8 million bonus maneuver that would give them some cap space.
Now, the reports are that they were $22 million under the cap or something
yes.
like that. Is that with that or without that?
Well, I don't even know. I don't even
I would
know
assume
for sure
that this is with that.
That this is new. How new this is, the timing. Because I don't check those every week to see if they
that might have been
somebody.
There for months. We just noticed it today.
I just haven't read any reports on it.
I mean, if I were the Patriots, I'd sign him to a lifetime service contract right now. You know?
Those don't exist.
What does that mean?
That means even after you're done, you're under contract with us.
That's really? Not legal.
I was going to say, if I was Brady, I wouldn't go anywhere near that.
Well, but... Yeah, did you see the Roethlisberger deal? I mean, if you're willing to hand him one of those, he might be willing to sign. Yeah,
$37 million guaranteed or something like that?
And I'm wondering, see, because that's about, I mean, didn't Brady get about $33 million guaranteed, I wonder, or $34 million? I think it was $34
million.
Sort
of. He didn't get it quite as well as Roethlisberger did.
No, well.
Roethlisberger got a check for $25 million
yesterday. No, he didn't get it up front. He got it in,
that's a lot of money.
He got it in those installments. But in terms of guaranteed money, I think Brady's was as high pretty
it
much
was
as anybody.
Well,
he just didn't get it all up
inflation
front.
Inflation-wise, it was probably worth more than what Roethlisberger's is worth today.
And speaking of our salary cap, Marcos from Argentina writes in.
Hola.
Just a quick...
I am the winner.
I am the winner.
Marcos says, hi, guys. Just a quick note to congratulate you on your work throughout the whole season and on the blog as well. I was wondering how the Moss re-signing affects our cap room situation. I like our chances now that he's back in, but I'm concerned about the room for maneuvering that this signing leaves us. Besides, how much would a seventh pick salary cost us? Thanks for the hard work and congrats again.
$18 million in guarantees, $40-plus million total based on last year's deals.
What was that? $18
million? Are you talking about
guarantees, $40 million-plus total.
Four.
5 years?
Seventh pick.
Oh, the seventh pick. I'm
five
sorry.
Years?
I missed that part.
Yes.
Moss's cap hit, not exact, but a rough estimate to me. Andy, help me out because you're good at this stuff.
$4 million from the bonus.
About $7 million, I think, his cap hit's going to be $4 million for the bonus. It was a $12 million signing bonus. That we know, according to reports.
Does he have any bonus this
year?
So
that's spread out. That's spread out over three years. So that's $4 million each year.
That's the easy part.
I think his base salary for this year, which is not updated yet on that on those NFLPA records that Andy was talking about, I think it's going to be somewhere around $3 million.
Sure.
And that's going to make his cap hit about $7 million for this year.
So the next year it'll be 11? Something like that?
Yeah, I mean, because you've
got to add up to 27 eventually.
Yeah, but my guess is that last year he's not going to see. That's just my guess. I haven't seen the contract, but I'm guessing it's going to, I mean, it comes out to an average of $5 million a year, 315, $5 million a year, but I don't think if he only got 15 guaranteed, I don't see how it works out to be much more than $3 million or so in the first year base salary. But, you know, Andy points out he could have a bonus. You know, we don't know where those, you know, a roster bonus.
That's the frustrating about these deals. As a fan, it's so hard to figure out where your team stands. It really is, because there's so many clauses and bonuses and unlikely to be earned.
See, I don't care about any of that stuff as a fan.
Well, I mean,
I only started worrying about that stuff when I worked here.
I either want to know all of it or I want to know none of it.
I'm with Paul. Could care less. Just sign people. And
yeah, but
that's how I like being.
You can sign anyone you want.
Well, yeah.
Well, especially the way the cap is now. We just talked about it. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You can sign anybody you want. You can sign for whatever you want. The cap is high enough now. The cap is high enough now that it's really not constrictive whatsoever. In determining who you can sign and who you can't sign. It's who you want to sign.
Marcos, thanks for the email. That was a good question. Also, Gary, our producer, wants to know where exactly in Argentina you're from, because we need to add a little pin to our map. So please write in with a general city, an exact city or a big city where you live in Argentina. Other emails. Andy, another Andy. Everyone named Andy writing into this show today.
It's a great name.
Andy in West Palm Beach wants to know, do the Pats have any compensatory picks? That means extra picks, Tom.
That one I know. It's a sports phrase.
In
I
the
know
upcoming draft.
Do the Pats
those have not been those awarded yet, but I would imagine that they would get a couple, wouldn't you? Let's see. Who did they lose last year?
I'm not sure they'll get much.
Well, you never get a lot, but who did they lose last year?
I don't know, but they certainly gained a couple. Dante Stallworth,
it goes by the previous.
Yes.
You're not
Adalys Thomas played a lot.
Not this year.
Because it's based on what the guy played and how he
contributed. Okay. I don't think they're going to get much at all.
I mean,
You're
looking at low-round guy, low-round picks anyway.
But, I mean, this will be one of the worst they've ever had, because they made such a big splash with guys that played so many games.
That's true. They did.
I mean, Adalys Thomas started all 16 games, right, and made plays. Yep. And
Kyle Brady played in 12 or 13.
Good. I hate
they
those
might get like a seventh
picks.
Round pick or something, if anything. It won't be much. Don't be counted on like a third round pick. Everybody always gets lathered up. Think they're going to get the right after the third round an extra three?
Well, they already started that this year because, Samuel, Stallworth, and Gay, will they get a third rounder? Well, Samuel might be worth a third rounder.
Right.
But Stallworth and Gay aren't going
to
be.
Certainly if they continue to sign no one, the net losses will be huge.
Yes. There's a name that our webmaster, Chris Ferreira, was excited about yesterday in the office, and that was David Givens. So Dan in Charlottesville writes in, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most interested, what is the level of interest David Givens will draw from NFL teams this season?
2. 1.
On the same scale.
Right.
Yeah, we should say why. I mean, we were talking about yesterday that
he's out.
He can't stay on the fields.
Right.
Wait, this is like Robert Edwards. Like, this is not like, he's
can't stay
he's
on
injury
the field.
Prone.
He hasn't had a couple of hammies.
He's had one injury. It just kept them out for 2 years.
What are you shaking your head? The guy's hurt. His career's over.
I know.
Shouldn't have left, right?
Jim Wyatt actually told me when it happened that he'd be very surprised. And Jim Wyatt works for the Tennessean in Nashville. Very surprised if he ever plays football again. And that was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he has yet to suit up since.
I liked him.
Dan also is joining this growing chorus of people who are excited about the possibility of Golston being taken by the Pats at number 7.
How could you not be?
As far as the draft is concerned, I'm hoping for Golston at number 7 if the Pats can't trade down and get a few more first-day picks. And I don't think Philly will want to trade up for Golston because of their current surplus of edge pass rushers. including newly signed Chris Clemens. Thoughts on that?
They have Trent Cole, too, right?
Yeah, he had a monster Cole's, year last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, I forgot they had signed Clemens from the Raiders, too. I was thinking about the
they got,
same.
They got rid of Curse, right? Yeah. They let him go.
But
I just
right,
think those did. That's the kind of defense they run, though. I don't think they're going to trade up for him. But I don't think it's the just dumbest thing to think that they would try to be interested in a guy like
just
that.
Just out of curiosity, how many times have you seen him play?
Who?
Golston.
Probably like three.
Three?
Probably.
Because I'm stunned it's that much.
Probably. Okay. And I'm not talking about a full game. I'm
just
talking about flashes.
I just found it funny that he hasn't even seen him on film yet. And they go, I want Golston at 7. And Andy goes, who wouldn't?
No, but I like the – you know I like linebackers, first of all. I like guy. To me, he's the total package. He looks good when he steps on the field.
But I've seen this before with you. What if you put the tape on?
I'm going to say he can't play.
Right. That's why I'm saying.
I'll be back next week.
You might want to hold off on the who wouldn't.
Who won the Butkus Award this year?
The Butkus Award was
Butkus
was Connor, wasn't it?
Dan Connor.
Yeah, that's the best linebacker.
Yeah.
Or no,
yeah.
it was Laurinaitis.
Oh, Laurinaitis.
Yeah, Laurinaitis won it.
Okay.
Why?
I noticed somebody sent us a list of Butkus Award winners over the years. Like, you know, 5/8 of them or 2/3 of them are
5/8 of them
are bust.
Yeah, well, because generally very good college.
I was
linebackers
told there would be no math.
Have topped out because it's those guys that have the instincts and the, you know they're like
Bill talked about this.
They're
a
like
lot.
Teddy Bruschi at the college level. They're not the physically gifted ones. Those guys.
I'm going to die if you watch Golston and say, well, this guy's too stiff.
Well, I'm going to laugh if it's like the second play, if it doesn't even take me 5 minutes.
Now, there was another receiver that the team signed yesterday, Sam Aiken.
A receiver
from the Bills.
Being generous.
Right. Yeah. I say that
special
because
teamer.
Special teams ace. Okay. So by my count, they re-signed Kelly Washington, who, by all accounts, is the special teams ace for this team, along with Larry Izzo.
Larry Izzo, yeah.
Willie Andrews was thought to be a special teams ace for
now
this team.
Now you see where
Sam
Aiken
turned to drugs.
In.
So put him in at gunner in the Willie Andrews spot.
So that was where I was going with this, is we're already thin at defensive back, and now they bring in this Aiken guy who's known his reputation is as a special teamer, and we have another special teamer in Andrews whose future is tenuous at best right now. What do we think about that? Is he going to be around?
I think I liked you a lot better in the first hour
than
the second.
That's what I was just thinking.
What are you babbling about over there?
What is this, NPR?
The bringing in of Aiken, how does that affect Andrew's situation? And then
you could have summed all that up with, what do you guys think of Aiken?
I think Sam Aiken is a nothing signing.
Right.
So do I.
He'll be a special team player.
Right.
Well, I understand
See,
that,
was,
but I'm going with how it affects Andrews and the possible
I don't know
further
how,
depletion.
I'm
of the
surprised he's
secondary.
A good gunner because he's slow as dirt. When he was at North Carolina, he was purely a possession receiver. I know the Bills tried to make him into a receiver that one year, a couple years ago, where they had nobody and they were just trying like different rotations.
And he had, 19 catches in 5 years?
Yeah, so he's got nothing as a receiver. He's very slow.
And
so,
Willie Andrews had nothing as a DB. I mean, he hasn't really been a contributor.
What is this, NPR?
No, he hasn't. But my point is, now that they're depleted so much, and they might have to force some of these guys to step in.
Willie Andrews wasn't stepping in.
Yeah, Willie Andrews is a seventh-round pick who's going to play his entire career on special teams, whether he thought so or not.
Plus, their safety is where they're okay. They have a couple guys who could start and at least one backup, depending on how you look at it, with Harrison, Sanders, Merriweather. It's the corners I don't have any of.
Right, but do you think Merriweather would have to be forced now to move over to corner
he
full-time?
He will play corner in camp. Whether he can play corner in the National Football League, I think, is very much in doubt. It's tenuous at best.
Not surprisingly, 14 of those 19 catches came when Bledsoe was his quarterback. He can make anybody a receiver. That's what he does. 11,
even defensive backs.
Ball,
11
ball
catches, 11 catches in
04.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address to join in on this.
Did you want to talk for
nonsense?
15 minutes about the Lonnie Paxton resign?
I was going with the angle that it might affect the defensive secondary, not the fact that he's a special teamer.
But I don't think it affects the secondary.
Just use the word secondary.
Because I don't think Willie Andrews is part of the secondary.
Mine.
It's like Gerard Cherry.
Okay.
Your pet peeve?
Defensive secondary. There's no offensive secondary, so I don't need you to tell me it's a defensive. Say secondary.
Okay, then from now on, I'm only going to call it the defensive secondary.
What about
secondary?
Defensive backfield?
That's fine. That's because there is an offensive backfield.
What is this, NPR?
Webradio@patriots.com. No, it is not NPR. It's patriots.com radio. Webradio@patriots.com. It's 508.
You are bringing the show to a grinding halt.
As good as you were in the first hour, you suck this hour.
He doesn't. You know what he is? He's quick out of the blocks, but he's nothing for stamina.
Yeah, I was going to say, he runs out of gas. This is the guy who thinks he's a better athlete than anyone.
Oh, you're running out of energy.
Maybe.
This is the guy who thinks he's the best athlete in the room.
You need some food. Is that your food over there?
No, Eddie.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, remember Super Bowl week? He was all gung-ho when we got there. Then after
what do you
media
got for
day,
lunch?
He was done.
Tuesday.
Don't worry about that.
I want to know what you have for lunch, Eric.
I got a little salad. I got an apple, some Big Newtons. I'm all right. I'll be fine. Don't worry.
What is this, NPR? salad, Big Newtons,
speaking of
and
that.
An apple.
Holy crap. Speaking of our general health and fitness.
Not in a gay
niche,
way, of course.
In Montreal, Canada, wants to
you
know.
See why, do you see why... Honestly, do you see why
yes,
you treated
why.
The way you,
yes.
you get treated?
Yes, I do.
Do you stay up
yes,
at
I
night
do.
Thinking
no,
of different ways to be pompous?
No.
It just comes oh so
it just comes
naturally.
So naturally. Yes.
That is so gay.
Mish writes, last week's show ended with a mad dash to determine which one of you guys is the least out of shape. Well, it sounds like you guys need to hold a mini combine amongst yourselves, complete with bench press, vertical leap, 36-yard dash, to reference what Andy was talking about last week. For some strange reason. I'm actually interested to find out which one of you fatties can run the 40 in under 9 seconds.
But that wasn't necessarily the argument.
Yeah.
The argument
no,
was athleticism.
Yeah. Right.
And the argument
well,
wasn't
Well, you made the claim, Eric, that you
right.
could beat any of us at anything.
It wasn't
no,
so
I didn't
much
say
us
that, Fred.
Who's better between
I did not
us
say
and
that,
we're
athlete.
All better than you.
I he
said,
was the best athlete
I didn't
in the
say
room.
I could beat you at anything, because I even told these guys afterwards, I never played baseball, I don't claim to be good at baseball,
God,
and I wouldn't
I'm
have anything
winner.
You
never
to
played
do
a
in
skill
baseball.
But he does look the best.
Played basketball.
You didn't play.
And soccer. And football.
You rolled the pine.
I didn't start.
You didn't play.
Oh, geez.
What are you, the traveling team?
No.
You kicked a ball around, whether it was
soccer
or football.
And football yeah.
No one cares about that.
In
it's
theory.
A useless.
In
you
theory.
Ever kick one through the uprights?
Oh,
on kickoffs?
So
fun.
You're thinking
oh,
more
kickoffs.
Track and field events?
No.
Yeah, add another thing I've done you haven't.
So you're thinking more track and
a
field events?
A kickoff after what? Three unsportsmanlike penalties and they move the ball
penalty.
45 yards
not
down the
field? Not a single penalty.
Hurricane Gloria.
Hurricane
yeah,
Force
see,
wins.
Fred, long distance running, he'll kill us. That's the only
right,
thing.
Right, he's built like a Kenyan.
Yeah, that's the only thing they'll kill us at.
I have confidence in my athletic ability.
You shouldn't.
I do.
You
I'm sorry. Especially with the shape you guys are in now.
I'm in fine shape.
I'm in fine shape, too.
In what endeavors?
Almost any endeavor.
Well,
almost
that's what
any.
I just said. You said no.
Basketball?
Why are you in good shape?
Because
you're skinny?
Because
I can
skinny.
See your ribs? Why are you in good shape? I've never seen you work out. I've never seen you run. I've never seen you do anything.
But I do all those things.
What? When?
Don't see-
when? We
what?
Go on
here,
the road.
Here at work.
We go-
what are you talking about?
Do you travel with us?
Huh?
I haven't seen you do a damn thing.
I don't work. I don't work out in front of people. This isn't a
oh,
boxing
oh, you
match.
Don't, you don't
work out in front of people?
You don't go to a gym. You don't.
No, I work
you
out
do
at
that
home.
In the closet
I have,
too.
I have all the stuff I need at home.
What do you
to
have?
Work out.
Really? You have a gym at home?
I don't need a gym. I do crunches. I do push-ups. I run. I do.
I prison. You know what I call that? My day off.
He does other things. They do in prison too.
That's what I do when I don't feel like working out. I do push-ups at home.
Exactly.
All I'm saying is,
never
I'm
seen
sorry.
You run ever. I'm never seen you work up a sweat in my life.
Why would that have anything to do with this?
Because you said
why
you're
do you
in
have
great
to
shape?
See it? Yeah, just look at me. Come on.
You look like crap. You look like
you look like you have cancer.
Yeah, you look like you're an eight. You look like you're.
You're gonna take it a step too
yes.
far.
You shouldn't say that. You look like
that's
you're an
a terrible
AIDS
thing.
That's
yeah. oh, AIDS. Okay, we'll go AIDS.
Why? Because you guys have 100 pounds on me.
Okay, now we're taking it two steps too far.
No, the AIDS thing, I could definitely see him having for
oh,
obvious
please.
Reasons.
Oh. Are you telling me in the condition you guys are in that you would be better at athletics than me
yes.
at this
yes.
point? Oh, you're out of your minds.
You equate athletics with running 15 miles. I'm talking about competing in a sport.
Yeah, see, and I'm not
compete in sports.
What?
I'm telling
you,
you that.
The pine.
I'm telling you that if we played a 5-on-5 basketball game,
yeah.
whatever other eight players you wanted
NPR?
To get, anybody watching the game would say that I did more in the game to help my team win than you did. Anybody would say that,
okay,
and I've
fine.
Never even seen you play basketball.
That's fine.
It's kind of like Tom's thing with Chris.
That's fine. That's fine.
I think you.
Tom just knows that he's going to beat Chris.
I have my doubts about that, by the way.
That he's going
to
beat Chris?
I'm starting to have my doubts about
well, we'll
that.
We'll see.
I'm praying.
When is this going to take place?
In June.
Where?
The book comes out in September.
Don't worry. We'll get it.
Yeah,
we'll
for those of you who don't know,
it could be at his house during the party.
And I'll tell you what.
Well, but that's a cramped.
No,
that's a driveway court. That's not, yeah.
We'll get it done.
You're
rich. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you, Eric. After I kick the crap out of him, you can step on the court, and I'll kick the crap out of you, too. How do you feel about that?
You better not look at it, Tom. You better beat Chris first. You're going to have to beat Chris, and that's not a guarantee.
What are you going to do against me?
For those of you who don't know, Tom and our webmaster, Chris Ferreira, they got into some discussion one day about, I don't know how it even came about.
Playing basketball.
They're playing basketball to settle it.
You know what? He was looking for the proper words there. He couldn't just say, you know, they're going to play a
basketball.
You know
where why we get features at Friday at 5:30.
You know where I think this is going, Andy? You know where I think this is going? I think he just wants to wrestle one of us so he can get all strapped up. And
strapped on.
He wants to grapple.
Boy, oh boy.
Oh, wrestling. God, you guys would kill me. You all weigh 150 pounds more than I do. You just have to sit on it.
First of all, if you were a great athlete, I'd be scared to wrestle you because I think a guy who's athletic could kick my butt.
I am athletic.
No, you're not.
And why do you say that?
Because I don't think you've ever done an athletic thing in your life.
I want you to play tennis.
See, you don't know
Fred.
That, though. He might have this other life.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, we know he has this other life.
He started to list it.
Can you challenge him to a tennis match?
Any.
Oh, I challenge And I like how he thinks, what do you think? You think all that right there? You think that's fat, baby? You think that's fat?
Tom's slapping his forearms and his biceps.
Oh my God.
All right. Mish also had a serious question. At what point does an undisclosed draft pick need to be revealed? And why has it become permissible for teams to hide what draft pick they've traded? It's a good question.
Well, undisclosed
is different than conditional.
Right.
I think he's talking about two different things.
And undisclosed is what the Patriots do in a press release when they trade.
I mean, they become disclosed when somebody
as soon as the other team says what it is.
Right.
It's disclosed in the trade. The other team knows what they're trading.
It's not like a rule, but the conditional is when you trade somebody and you haven't announced what round it is, and it depends on how that other half of the trade pans out.
Yeah, the guy makes the team, generally.
So you set those conditions. If he does X, I'll get a second. If he does Y,
Right. Well, yeah, it used to be just when a guy made a team, but now it's clearly more because Vilma is going to make the team, I would assume.
Yeah.
It's got to be, like, games played, staying on the roster.
If he's healthy.
Something of that, yeah.
Looks like we might have a new emailer. Frank from Old Hickory, Tennessee. Does that name ring a bell?
Isn't that where your stuff is from? Daniels, isn't that from Old Hickory, Tennessee?
Maybe
say right on the bottle, Old Hickory, Tennessee.
Figures you drunk.
Check upstairs; he's got it next to his desk. Bottle goes down every day.
Yeah, when are you gonna bring that home?
When I think of it,
it doesn't look good.
Yeah,
right. it doesn't
reflect well on the department.
Yeah.
The hell's going on?
Either does happen. You.
Frank wants to know a few things. First of all, is there any level of interest by the Patriots in Howie Long's kid? That's Chris Long, the defensive end / outside linebacker from Virginia.
I'm sure there would be.
And what's our opinion of him?
I don't love him.
Cocky.
We all like him.
I don't think anybody
loves him.
He's a little cocky, and I don't think he's athletic enough.
Well, but
if
you listen to
tweeter,
that combine coverage on NFL Network, he's a blue chip.
Right.
Yeah, but they're all Howie Long's friends.
In this draft, he is considered a blue chip.
Right.
You know what problem I have with him?
No question about that.
You know, I've seen Virginia play a few times. They've been on ESPN and stuff. And when you watch the game, before the game, they talk about Long's kid. During the game, the announcers talk about Howie Long.
Hiding by the
right.
scoreboard.
But during the game, while it's being played, you never hear his name mentioned once. Now, maybe he's doing things
I
don't
see. As far as making a play and stuff.
He's one of those guys who they talk about. Then when you watch him, you're waiting to hear him do something, and you never do.
He's also one of those guys, sort of like the linebackers we were talking about, who I have the fear that he's topped out. That he's, you know, he tries really hard, he works hard, he studies, he's all that, he's the perfect human being, you know, he's got all those quotes with him.
The brick.
But that, yeah, he doesn't have room for growth the next level, that extra athleticism.
You think he's peaked already?
I think
he might concerned me is that the scouting reports, some of them that I've read, said that he doesn't really get after the passer very well. He's not a good pass rusher. And to me, if you're thinking about moving a guy to outside linebacker, he would need to have that ability. And if he doesn't have it, he doesn't have it. Now, I don't know enough about him. I've seen him play a couple of times. I saw him play in his bowl game where they had an absolute collapse against Texas Tech. But I haven't seen enough to see whether or not he can get after the passer well enough to warrant, you know, if I'm taking a guy in the top five, a top 10, and I'm projecting him as an outside linebacker, defensive end, hybrid, he's got to be able to get after the passer.
That's the other thing. He doesn't have a position. And even he admitted it. Everybody talked like he hasn't played in a 4-3, so he's not a 4-3 end. He's never stood up and played linebacker. He's been basically Richard Seymour in the 3-4 at Virginia. Mm. And he's not big enough to be Richard Seymour in the NFL. So he's changing something. He's never done what he's going to do, and you're taking him fifth overall.
He's got to be a Vrabel type.
Yeah. But
see, that's the difference. Now, Richard Seymour was so big, everybody was saying he was a 3-4 end.
Right.
Or a 4-3 tackle. Now, if he's good enough and he can be productive enough in that role, you can take that guy in the top 10, and obviously Seymour proved to be good enough. But I'm not sure I see, like Andy said, I'm not sure I see the size for Chris Long to be able to be a strict defensive lineman.
I also didn't like his look.
Now, on these college videos that we got, are these only good highlights of all
don't
these
worry
players?
About it. They got everything.
Because my concern is that we're just going to see all these great plays, and
you don't see just great plays.
Okay, so we're going to see him.
Don't worry, you're an astute little scouting eye.
But sometimes, you know, when they say they sent you the highlight reel and it is their best plays, if those best plays aren't that good, you get you get an indication.
I remember
out of that
when we were watching guys from NC State, we saw Oliver Hoyt making plays all over the place.
Quickly, Frank also wants to know, he says Randall Gay will not be missed and that he was overpaid in New Orleans. I think we might all be in agreement on that. I also think Samuel can be replaced, but he wants to know where we can find a replacement.
Yeah, there's three better players at his position in the NFL. So if you can get one of them.
Tied up.
And I agree they overpaid for Gay, but he played for you. He was your nickelback, so you got to replace him.
So
he's going to be missed.
No,
there's no one on the roster that Bill thought was better than him.
Right?
Well, Hobbs, but I mean to fall into that role.
He also wants to know if Brandon Merriweather can actually hold on to a pass. What our PFW MySpace address is, that's myspace.com/PFW in progress.
All one word, more friends than Lori.
Which brings us to Lori Baranski.
How many friends are there?
James said we had more than you, though.
Yeah. James in England, our administrator.
Would it take 2 months?
Said that we don't even have to flirt with creepy guys at autograph shows and show our
two months
on camera.
Oh.
That was a bit low.
2 months.
Even
they are hanging a little low. You're getting old. They're sagging.
see what I'm talking about, Fred?
That's a line.
Fred, see
like,
what I'm talking about?
Line.
Yeah, only
that
someone
crossed.
That was intimate with someone.
Exactly.
First of all, they are not sagging, okay?
One, two, three. Four other guys are sitting here, and every time you and Andy start going at it. I mean, it's obvious.
I like your boobs.
Either come out and tell us or stop being so obvious because it's annoying.
We could say the same about you and Eric.
That's true.
So what do you want, Lori? What are you here for?
We're talking about podcasts.
The same thing they all want. I won't say who.
No, let's not say that.
Stacey James said it.
Yeah, that's who said it.
Okay.
Paul, a little ashamed.
Well, I'm glad you joined us for the last PFW in progress ever.
Anyway, we are doing podcasts. We have our draft prospect review coming up every Wednesday. You guys will be on every Tuesday with your podcast, and we still have chit chats every Thursday. There's a lot of good things going on around here
now,
at Patriots.com.
Now, with the cheerleaders, we should tell people that the preliminary auditions are this Saturday.
This Saturday.
And then 2 weeks from this Saturday are the final auditions,
correct.
Right?
So if you know anybody, come on out.
So a lot of cheerleaders are listening to this show.
Well, there's how many are graduating?
There are six that are retiring.
Six are retiring. They're matriculating into the real world.
So the six guaranteed
new
spaces.
Cheerleaders.
Correct.
And who are the judges? Who do I need to tell to make sure they know what to look for?
Is Nikki judging?
Yeah.
Tell her big boobs are in.
Oh, we know.
James just wrote in 270 PFW friends.
Oh, wait. I think
how many do you have?
I thought I had over 300. I'll have to look at this.
I'm sure
read
James
read the rest, Eric.
And draft podcasts on Wednesday.
Yes.
Every Wednesday.
Where we'll be
up
talking
the
about the guys who watch on video, position by position, each week leading
Eric
up
will
to
be joining
draft.
Us for that one.
Really?
He went to Columbine. Sure. So.
That's right. You went to Columbine.
Sorry, Combine. I wrote to you.
Although I did cheat it with one of those trench coats.
I let it go. I let it go in the email because...
I even typed it out.
I let it go in the email because I assumed that you were just joking with me about that.
Sorry.
All right.
So Combine. Insensitive. So insensitive.
So this is what they're looking for at those cheerleader tryouts.
We need to go bigger.
So what else is going on with you, Lori? Anything
interesting?
That's
about it. We got tryouts. It's pretty busy around here.
Now, James wants me to give Lori the Indianapolis finish line.
I read it up on myself, Lori,
you've been working on the new website that we developed called newenglandfootball.com.
Yes.
And that will be part of the museum, and it's a place for any high school team in New England. They can go and register and put up the information about their high school football program, the history of it. So when people go into the
museum.
They can look up teams from around New England, find out what's going on with Everett and what's going on with Boston English.
Is this like Wikipedia where it's updated?
Exactly like Wikipedia, except you have to – you can't just go in and change. You have to register.
So if I register, I may have rushed for 6,000 yards.
Well, right now, only coaches and athletic directors can register their teams right now.
A supervisor for each team has to say, okay, you're allowed to make updates.
Who's the supervisor for Dartmouth?
It's not quite like Wikipedia.
I already called Dartmouth, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're signing up. So it's newenglandfootball.com/register to register.
Right, newenglandfootball.com.
If you're in the New England area.
And this is up and running?
It's up and running.
So I can go click on Dartmouth High.
You can check and see if they registered.
Absolutely.
And if not, call them and bump them.
Eric, did your high school football team register?
I don't know.
What high school did you go to?
St. Paul's School, Concord, New Hampshire.
That's right.
What is this, NPR?
He did.
He did?
You did.
I did what?
You said you beat up some guy there.
Oh, yeah. When I was a freshman.
Oh, do tell.
Uh-oh. Let's hear this. What happened?
More stories from Eric.
No.
Did he steal your lunch?
Sorry, Eric.
No.
Beat up a guy.
You come in here at the last minute?
Sorry,
I'm sorry.
No,
what the hell's the matter with you?
Okay, St. Paul's School, you were getting into fights?
He beat somebody up.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Well,
why'd you beat him up?
There's a lot of hazing that goes on in prep schools.
And you just weren't going to take it.
Was this a boarding school?
Yes.
Oh.
All boys?
Yeah, no. 300 boys, 200 girls.
And you still didn't get...
Was it over a girl?
No.
That 10-year-old was getting on his case, and he just wouldn't take it anymore.
No, hey, there's a lot of hazing that goes on in prep school. And in our school, they don't have locks on your room doors. So everyone is free to walk in anyone else's room at any point, at any time. And my first semester there was pretty tough, me and all the other freshmen, because hazing was a routine part of the – all right, what do you want, Paul?
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Sort of like your first year here.
I was going to say,
yes,
what's the difference?
A lot only this was actual physical
in the
hazing.
Mean streets
physical
of those abuse. Boarding schools.
We haven't touched you.
No, thank
so
God.
So when you slept, did you have to have like one finger on the trigger and the other eye open at all times? Like
that's kind of how it was.
Growing up in the hood of St. Paul's School?
That's kind of how it was.
It was kind of like boys.
It was almost like Everett.
It was kind of like boys in the hood with white guys.
Right. White rich guys.
That's a lot like how it was. And this kid was a year ahead of me, and he was...
They'd give him 4 sponge baths, you know, things like that.
So what did he do to you to get beat up?
He and his best friend were like sort of the ringleaders of the hazing, because as freshmen, they got it really badly from older kids. So when they became sophomores, they decided they're going to take it out on this new freshman class.
You were the weak little kid.
No, it was me and all the other freshmen in our dorm. And they would take it out on all of us. And nobody was doing anything to fight back. And so after 3-4 months of this, finally I just got fed up. And I just, one night I waited for the kid to come back from class or dinner or whatever it was.
And you painted waited for this
him
picture.
Waited for him in the common area. And as soon as he walked in the door, I just
sucker punched
started. Him. I just started beating the crap out of him.
So this was like the Christmas story that when the kid just loses it.
Yeah,
on
lost Ralphie.
Lost it.
I would reply to this, but I got a feeling our emailers are going to take care of that.
Let me just say, Eric, leaving them with something to write about.
Let me just say, Andy, just having knowledge of that. That I lost it at one point when somebody went a little too far with me.
Uh-oh.
This is going to be even funnier.
As long as you don't have a gun, I'm feeling fine.
Just keep that
in the
back
of your mind. I got a friend Shirley bigger than you.
I think you could take me. You know why? If you ever charged me, I'd start laughing so hard I don't think I could fight.
As long as you don't have a gun, I'm feeling okay.
That's fine.
All right.
So, Mr. Rhode Island, you know, everything is better in Rhode Island, but you had to go to New Hampshire to go to high school?
I would have gone to LaSalle Academy in Providence, but I got an opportunity to go to this school, so I took
too many
that.
Fights. They wouldn't let you in LaSalle.
No, I got into LaSalle, but I had a better offer from St. Paul, so I went there.
I have a very good friend that went to LaSalle. It was a goalie, John Bradley.
Hockey or soccer?
Hockey.
Oh yeah,
a real sport.
I was gonna say no one cares if there was a soccer goalie.
I played soccer for a little while, Laurie. Yes,
for a little while.
When I was a kid, and then in high school, I changed to football.
So you didn't even when I asked you last week what sports you played and you listed soccer, it was
I
when
played
you were
soccer.
5?
No, I played soccer from when I was 5 until my freshman year in high school, and then as a sophomore I changed to football. And I also played basketball.
I changed to football my junior year in high school. It's not
but
uncommon.
Would you list? I didn't even play freshman year. He listed soccer among the top 3 things he did. Like,
those you asked me what sports I played, and I told you I played those sports.
Jesus, I didn't know we were going all the way back to
being a prep school. I know you guys are going to love this. Being a prep school, I also played squash. I rode crew, played tennis once.
I bet
not
you
that
rode
great,
a whole
Fred.
Crew.
What is this, NPR? Oh, that's terrible.
Not anymore.
Is that about it?
That's pretty much it.
Well, before we go, I just want to say one thing. Oklahoma stinks. They got embarrassed by USC, Boise State, and West Virginia the last couple of years. So you guys can say all you want, but the bottom line is you got to bring back Jamel Holloway. You got to start running the option again because you're the most overrated football program.
Get the old run-and-shoot offense, and I don't mean the style of play.
Right. Get the old wishbone back because you got the most overrated program in NCAA, you bunch of rednecks.
Fred, you going to be back in this chair on Thursday, or are you going to meeting?
It looks like it right now.
Looks like you will be back?
Yes.
All right.
Thank
so
God.
Somebody send lunch.
That's it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back on Thursday.
What is this, NPR?